It's time for the most knowledgeable and informative show based around the world of professional wrestling.
Thought we weren't supposed to use that word anymore.
OWW Radio, with your host, Mr. Personality, Alan Wojcik.
Let not my vote, I happen to be charismatic.
Along with the loudmouth assassin, the Spud Guy.
I just act that way to get chicks, dumbass.
The resident Aussie, Mace.
I am not going to lie to these people just because it makes them feel good.
Guest starring Kevin Scott as Jamal.
What it is, my nipple? I got Jamal for shit.
What? It's time for OWW Radio, live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Good evening, everybody, and welcome to Online World of Wrestling Radio, brought to you by the Wild Talk Radio Network. Also, clickwrestle.com, which is the official on-demand site of Online World of Wrestling, and iTunes, where you can find each and every of the previous 98 episodes of this event, which I can't believe this. According to the big boss, Brad Dykens, this is episode 99. I almost feel like I want to talk like the Don Adams from Get Smart, talking about 99. Our number, as always, 267-297-1397. If you're a part of the Skype network, it is Sir Rockin' Two Words, and you can be a part of our program. We will get into everything, all 300 million picks of WWE drafting. I think some of them may be on ESPN this Thursday night with the NFL draft. Great things are going with the organization. We'll cover the Extreme Rules pay-per-view, which is this Sunday here in Tampa Bay. We'll also get into TNA Wrestling. Yes, they still exist. At the 10 o'clock hour, we will be joined by former ROH World Champion, who is also a member of Dragon Gate USA, who is also a member of Evolve, who we talked about a week or two ago with Rebby Sky and Larry Dallas. And he's also a part of the event we're going to talk about in a moment or two, the ECWA Super 8 Tournament. Austin Aries will be joining us. So tweet, text, send smoke signals, however you need to do it, to get people here for the 10 o'clock hour. Austin Aries, take your calls. Mace will be joining us in a moment. Spug is under the weather, so is Jamal. Jamal lost his voice last week and still has not found it, so if you do find it, let the folks at SUNY Stony Brook Hospital know and you'll get a handsome reward. If you are in the Voorhees, New Jersey area on April 30th, you need to go to Flyers Skate Zone. The address is 601 Laurel Oak Road, because East Coast Wrestling Association will be holding an for tournaments, this is amazing to say, the 15th annual Super 8 tournament. Doors will be at 2. The bell time is 3:45. Now, if you come to this event, if you try to come in with a video camera of any kind, they're going to tell you to get lost because it's going to be recorded for GoFightLive.tv, one of the on-demand video sites. The gentleman who is joining us right now, along with a partner who we'll reference in a couple moments, took over this organization from the legendary Jim Kettner this past year, and he has joined us here tonight. Joe Zaloni, thank you for joining us, and I've just butchered your last name horribly. It's Zanoli? Zanoli.
Zanoli.
Zanoli, I got it. And now,
it's okay.
For fans that are not aware of this, and I knew the organization from my association with the Jeff Peterson Memorial Cup. Jim is, Mr. Kettner is the uncle of the late Jeff Peterson. So I knew of ECWA and also knew it from Black Nature Boy, Scoot Andrews, Cedric Strong, They had gone up and competed in Super 8. When you, how did you and your partner Michael end up, business partner Michael, end up, I know you guys run TWA, Tri-State Wrestling Association. How the heck did you come to this organization? I said, this organization is established big time, like since 1967. So story time for all of us. Please explain if you can.
Yeah, it's kind of a tangled web. I actually was a referee in the original TWA that Joel Goodhart did that was in many ways predecessor for ECW. That was in the late 80s, early 90s. I was a referee there, and Mike Tartaglia was a wrestler, Michael Bruno. So I've known Mike, you know, for 20 some odd years. And after I refereed, I actually went back to photography. I was a photographer, then a referee, then I went back to photography, and I was actually a photographer for Pro Wrestling Illustrated magazine. And that's how I met Jim Kettner. I've been going to ECWA since July of 1999, and I've seen, missed the first three Super 8 tournaments, but I've seen everyone since 2000. In October 2009, Mike decided to have a reunion show for TWA. We did that. We ran, less than a year later in August. Jim called me one day, and, he had been talking about retiring for a while, and, you know, offered a proposal to buy him out. So I talked to Mike about it, and we got it done last August. So, right now we're still running TWA and, also ECWA.
Was the fan base in shock when Mr. Kettner decided to step away, and how did you calm them down if there was any uprising going, oh God, Kettner's gone, we're done, there's no ECWA?
Well, you know, I think, you know, and I remember him always saying, you know, talking about retiring, and I think it was one of those things that, you know, when someone always says, you know, I'm going to retire, I'm going to do this, and they say it so many times and don't do it, you just, you know, blow it off. But when he did it, I think definitely a lot of the guys and the fans were definitely in shock. But, you know, I've been involved, like I said, in a small part with ECWA for many years. The Super 8 tournaments for many years, the photos in PWI magazine were mine. You know, I was familiar with the guys and the fan base and the TWA shows that we had been running for a little less than a year prior. You know, we used some ECWA guys, and we had the same kind of show, which is a PG/family show where, you know, there's no, like, over-the-top violence, no cursing, anything like that. You know, we wanted to have a show that kids were able to come to. I have kids. They come to the show. And, you know, so it was kind of, you know, in many ways it had a similar type of show that we were doing anyhow. So, and using some of the same talent, so.
When you go over the roster that's coming in for this event, and we'll break down the actual the Super 8 event, a couple of these matches are going to be in a mixture of the ECWA talent and the Tri-State talent.
Mm-hmm.
One of the names that came up, a lot of my friends have been going, you got to ask. I'm like, I don't want to. If you can, without getting too ha-ha funny, describe the gentleman that's a part of the Open Invitational Battle Royal that is Mr. Ooh-La-La.
Well, I tell you, it's funny you asked me about him because he's definitely one of the unsung heroes of ECWA. But the people that really know what's going on really know what he does and what he contributes. You know, I was always a fan of I guess the Ring of Honor type style of wrestling, and I actually believe that Ring of Honor really took what the ECWA was once a year and made it the basis for their promotion. You know, the guys that started Ring of Honor, Gabe and Rob and Doug, they were all at the early Super 8s, and if you look in 2002 when Ring of Honor started, was a lot of guys that weren't in the early 2000s Super 8s. Chris Daniels, Low Key, American Dragon. But to get back to Mr. Ooh La La, you know, and what I was saying was about Ring of Honor, that I was always a fan of that style of wrestling. Since we started running shows, I've come to appreciate the characters in wrestling more, and that not every performer or every match has to be a quote-unquote five-star wrestling match, that there's places on the show for characters like Mr. Ooh La La. And if I could describe him, he's really kind of like a bumbling Frenchman, Pink Panther, what's the name of the character?
Inspector Clouseau.
Inspector Clouseau type character. He comes to the ring, he trips going in the ring, and, you know, it's a lot of physical comedy and stuff, but there's very few guys that work our shows that do what they're supposed to do as well as he does. And, you know, his job's not to be a five-star wrestler. His job is to be a character, and he does it better than anybody. So, you know, he's definitely one of my favorites, and he's been in the ECWA for a long time. And, you know, he'll be there as long as he wants to be there.
Now, this organization has said has gone back to the mid-1960s, 1967, according to their Wikipedia page. So
right.
You've got a base that's been there. Are you finding when you run shows that parents are bringing, you know, like grandparents are bringing their kids and their kids are bringing their kids to these events?
You know, I think it's changed. You know, I think it's changed over the years. There's definitely kids. I don't know. I wouldn't say grandparents, but there's definitely a certain base of kids. I actually think that our TWA shows, which are normally in New Jersey, we actually get more kids. The fans in the ECWA, I think there was kind of a change in the fan base. I don't know, maybe 5 or 6 years ago, things kind of changed a bit. You know, a lot of the roster changed too. What, you know, like I said, with the advent of Ring of Honor and Dragon Gate and Evolve, Jim Kettner back then went more towards characters. It focused more on characters and storylines. But you know, there's definitely fans that have been there for a very long time, and you know, they're loyal fans, and you know, we just try to, the shows that we put on, some of the performers we use are different. We bring in different guys, but, you know, the most important thing to me is to stay with that family-type show, and especially in Delaware, where the majority of the ECWA shows are held. There's a combative sports commission, and, you know, by law, there's certain things, you know, there's no blood, there's no pile drivers. You know, there's no chair shots to the head, things like that. So, but
no pile drivers. Wow,
so,
sounds like
right,
sounds
yeah.
like old school Jerry Lawler. No, don't do
I
it.
Just
oh,
say
I
say that. Yeah. I was waiting for them to say you couldn't jump off the top rope either. Yeah, WCW in the early Bill Watts WCW. But yeah, no pile drivers. So
yeah, I remember Combat Zone Wrestling ran into some issues with them over blood and everything, and they could, oh, whatever, we're comments and we can do what we want. Do you find it easy to market, to get buildings to accept ECWA just by coming in and saying, no, that we're never going to be anything like that?
Well, the building, like I said, I came in at about 99, started photographing the shows. Back then it was in St. Matthew's Parish Hall in Wilmington. About 4 or 5 years later, I think 2004, and I have to look off the top of my head. 2004 was either the last year in Wilmington or the first year in Newark. And so the building we're in now, ECWA's been in for like 6 or 7 years. And but like I said, by the state law, you're not allowed to do that. Combat Zone, they only run once a year in Delaware, and that's their tournament of death. And I'm not exactly sure how they work that, but I'll have to ask the ECWA commissioner, who happens to be the owner of Combat Zone Wrestling, DJ Hyde. That happened on our last show. which shocked a lot of ECWA fans, but it definitely got a lot of people talking.
Absolutely. Now, there are, as mentioned, there are three bonus matches to this event. One is the Open Invitational Battle Royal. The second one that I want to address is an eight-man match with the ECWA champion, the Greek god Papadon, your Mid-Atlantic champion, who is Chris Wilde, taking on the Mack brothers, or Team Mackton, TJ and Kirby Mack. They're going to take on the TWA champion, Breaker Morant, and the tag team champions, Damian Dragon and Matt Saigon, along with the true professional, Josh Daniels. How big a match is this in each promotion? Are fans clamoring that they wanted to see this kind of battle between ECWA and TWA?
I think it was, you know, this was the perfect time to do a match of this type. And, you know, when you have the Super 8 tournament, there's only eight guys in it. So, you know, you have the roster that's working for you all year round, and you know, you want to be loyal to them and have them be a part of the big show. So you try to, you know, get as many of the guys together. And you know, Mike and I just thought it'd be a cool idea. Hey, how about right now we don't have ECW tag team champions. There's that championship's vacant right now, and that'll be decided on May 7th, the following week in Newark, Delaware. But I said, hey, how about if we had a match, you know, with all the champions, and if, you know, if there's a champion missing, we'll have kind of like a wild card participant. So, you know, when you have the two different promotions, we have TWA guys on ECWA and vice versa. There's some guys that are exclusive, but we just thought that it was kind of a neat thing to do. You know, a team at ECWA versus team TWA. Since this is the first year, actually, the Super 8's not in Delaware; it's in Voorhees, New Jersey. So it's an ECWA show. And the venue that we run TWA, so it just kind of fit and thought it would be the eight guys in the match are all great workers, and I think they'll put on a great entertaining match, and it'll be a nice break to separate the quarterfinals from the semifinals.
Jim Joe Zaloni of ECWA joining us here on Online World of Wrestling Radio. Have the fans gotten upset that this event is not in its normal home, that it's moved to New Jersey? Have you guys received any emails going, well, we're not coming because you moved it there, man?
Well, sure. I mean, there were some people that, you know, were upset about it. Most people are still coming or buying the pay-per-view. There's, you know, it wasn't a decision we made in haste. It was something that we talked about for a long time and went back and forth. And when you make that decision to move the event, yeah, sure. I mean, you have to be ready for, you know, the repercussions, but, some of the main reasons why we did it was, number one, the venue in New Jersey is owned by Comcast Spectacor. It's where the Philadelphia Flyers practice, and it's a more modern facility. It seats more people. And, most importantly, I think it's a better facility for the iPay-per-view as far as lighting goes. That was the main concern. The other concern, too, is that if you look at New York, New Jersey, Philadelphia, Delaware, where we're looking at drawing, you know, the live audience from, you know, the venue and, the Flyer Skate Zone is in South Jersey is more like more centrally located than Delaware would be furthest south. And, you know, the people that have expressed, you know, concern that it was moved, there was plenty of people that were happy that it moved. People from New York saying, oh, you know, they were happy it was moved. Now we can come. You know, we'll come this year. And, you know, sometimes you just got to take a risk. It's not to say it's going to be in New Jersey every year, but we thought that with being the 15th annual, it was our first bigger venue, better lighting, and more centrally located. And it's only about 40 minutes from its original home. So, and we got the fans together. We were going to have a bus, but it was kind of cost prohibitive. But we got the fans together. Mike calls them before every show to see if they're coming. We know them all, first name basis, have their phone numbers and everything. So whoever didn't have a ride, we made sure that everybody that wanted to come did have a ride. So it really wasn't a problem at that point.
That's amazing that you have a fan base that you know by name, as opposed to certain promotions that bounce around so much that their territory has gotten so big, like a Ring of Honor,
right,
that it's just like, where are we this week? I think that's
right.
Really amazing to hear a promotion
well,
say
actually,
that.
Actually, what Jim had done, and then Mike is still doing too, is in Delaware, you know, the people reserve their seats it's basically general admission, but we'll put the people's names on the seats, you know, and make up a chart before the show. And, you know, like I said, they'll either email us or the week before Mike will give them a call, and they have their names are on the seats when they come in. So, and that's for the ringside section. You know, if they want bleacher seats, so they'll just say, yeah, I'm coming, I'm going to sit in the bleacher, so.
That's just refreshing to hear. The other bonus tournament match, and then we'll go into the main tournament itself in a moment here, is actually a battle of the ECWA Grand Slam Champions. The first ever Super 8 champion, Ace Darling, will take on the 2008 champion, Aiden Chambers. Is it true that Ace Darling was actually retired and is coming back for this match, or did I get misinformation?
No, he was. He was working for a bit. Tommy Fierro was running ISPW. I'm trying to think how long it's been since he hasn't run ISPW shows. I don't know if it's quite a year yet or not, but... for a while, that's all Ace was working for, was for Tommy Fierro's ISPW, but I don't think he's had a match, in 8 months to a year. So I guess kind of semi-retirement, but he actually Ace is in the best condition of, his life and his career that I've ever seen him. He's really in great shape. So, Ace was actually a mentor to a tag team in 2004 in ECWA, the OC Boys, which was Sean Patrick and Aiden Chambers. I guess around the holiday time, we put out a poll on the ECW website asking fans who they wanted to see in the Super 8 this year. And Ace got a lot of votes, and Aiden Chambers did too, but Ace got a lot, and at the ECWA shows, Aiden Chambers would come in the ring and, you know, do an interview, and wasn't happy about the fact that Ace was getting so many votes, and put open challenges out for Ace to show up, and actually had Ace accept one time, and it was actually wasn't Ace, it was someone that Aiden brought with him, and just pummeled the guy down and beat him down, and so finally Ace accepted the challenge. They're the only two guys in the history of ECWA to hold all the championships, the heavyweight, tag team, Mid-Atlantic, and Super 8 championship. And again, Ace was the very first Super 8 champion in 1997. And he's also an ECWA Hall of Famer. So I think it's a match that both of them are really looking forward to. They're both ECWA favorites. And, you know, I don't think the 15th annual Super 8 would be complete without the first Super 8 champion. So, again, we're going to have the quarterfinals, then the 8-man match, then we'll have the semifinals, and then we're going to have this battle of the Grand Slam champions, and then the final and the tournament will be last.
All right, the actual tournament, this is the first round matches. This is the order of the brackets that were determined. Now, this is not who will face who in later on. It's Bobby Shields versus Austin Aries, who we'll be talking to in the 10 o'clock hour. Rich Swann, who I got to see at the Jeff Peters Memorial Cup, very entertaining star, taking on Tommaso Ciampa. Adam Cole will be taking on the 2010 Peters Memorial Cup winner, and I believe he did really well at the CZW Best of the Best. I don't know if he won it or got close. But the new horror, Sami Callihan, who has been a guest on this show and was amazing in person. The last match is Shimmy Zion taking on someone who's become a favorite of Mace's during our pre-interview with
with Joe. We're sitting there going, we've got to see this taking on Shockwave the Robot.
He's everybody's favorite.
Yeah, go through for fans, because I've seen personally how the Peterson Memorial Cup is put together, or for the two-day thing. Take fans through your creative process, if you can, a little bit in how much was fan influence in picking this eight, how much were personal favorites of yours, and how many were just, okay, I like you, get, you know, dartboard, boom, all right, you're in.
Well, first one point, those are the first round matches. The actual brackets, the order of matches, that's going to be determined right before showtime. So that's the first thing. I could go down the names. Tommaso Ciampa went to the finals in the Super 8 in 2009 and 2010, and he lost both years. So, Tommaso, to me, is really, you know, when I watch him wrestle, I think of the Terminator. He's just, the ultimate wrestler. He keeps going. He's like a machine. He doesn't stop. And, as people have seen in the past, guys that have not won the Super 8, they've actually gone on to great fame. AJ Styles lost in the finals in 2002. Austin Aries lost in the finals of 2004. I think it was 2001. American Dragon Bryan Danielson lost to Loki. So, the fact that he went to the finals 2 years in a row and didn't win didn't discourage me at all about putting him in again the third year. He definitely, I feel, was the MVP in the last 2 years, even though he didn't win the tournament. And, Tommaso is just a natural choice for me to put in again this year. He's just starting to do more work with Ring of Honor. Right now he's in the embassy with Prince Nana, who was another guy that had a storied history with ECWA. So that's Tommaso. Sami Callihan, you're right, he won the Peterson Cup. He also, in Germany, won the WXW 16 Karat Cup. And, Sami, to me, is kind of like the hard-hitting brawler. I didn't want eight guys with the same style. You know, I wanted a variety of styles and tried to fill the role that went with that style as I went along. So, Sami, I think he's only been working 4 or 5 years, but he's just really caught fire. He works for about every promotion, I think, except Ring of Honor. He's big in Dragon Gate and Evolve. I know recently he did a Dragon Gate, had 3 pay-per-views in a weekend. He was on them. And he recently went to the finals of the CZW Best of the Best 10 tournament. And in the finals, he went with Adam Cole, and Adam Cole won that tournament, which brings me to Adam Cole. Wrestle Observer Newsletter 2010, he was Rookie of the Year. Just a great all-around wrestler. In CZW, he wrestles as a bad guy, and he's been compared to Shawn Michaels. He's a crowd favorite. When he wrestles TWA, he reminds me of Ricky Steamboat. So when you have somebody that kind of, in a way, reminds you of a Ricky Steamboat and a Shawn Michaels, Wrestling Observer Rookie of the Year, if you look at the past Rookie of the Years, and, when we first came upon Adam, he said, send me the dates that you're booked, to see what shows we could put you on. And this is last year. And in July, he was booked like 14 or 16 times. And I said to myself, this guy's already on the fast track. And he's only his second and a 2.5 years in. So, again, since they went to the finals with that Best of the Best, Mike and I talked, and we said, why don't we have the rematch of the Best of the Best finals at the Super 8? So Sammy's going to be meeting Adam Cole. This will be the third time they've met. The first time was in Evolve. Sammy won. Second time, Best of the Best. Adam won. So this is kind of a rubber match. Only one of those guys is going to advance to the semifinals in the Super 8. But I think it's going to be a great, awesome match. And next on the list is Shockwave the Robot. I don't know, have you guys Googled him yet or gone on?
Yeah, we took a look at him. That was some definitely interesting.
Going on YouTube.
Oh, yeah.
You know, he's
an attention getter.
Yeah. I could see wrestling purists, maybe Shockwave isn't their cup of tea, but again, eight guys in a tournament, I wanted a variety of styles. The great thing about Shockwave is, we talked about Mr. Ooh La La before, greatest character match of all time, Shockwave against Mr. Ooh La La we had in TWA last year. And I remember just sitting back looking around at the crowd and just everybody had a smile on their face and they were enjoying themselves. And, you know, wrestling doesn't always have to be serious. The Super 8 is more of a serious wrestling tournament. But, again, the great thing about Shockwave is that, Shockwave is a character, but he's toured Japan many times, and I've seen him in Japan, and he's got a different dimension to his wrestling abilities. And I think that's what's going to be great about this tournament is that he's a favorite of TWA in New Jersey, and they're used to seeing him wrestle character matches. But there's definitely more of the Shockwave than just the character. And I think a lot of people are going to be shocked. And again, like you said, he's an attention getter. And, if it's going to get people talking and curiosity and people looking into it, that's what you want to do. Rich Swann, I think Rich Swann's only like 19 or 20 years old.
Yeah, he's a young kid. I was very surprised when I saw him at Peterson.
Yeah, he's really young. Again, he's another one, much like Sammy. They work pretty much every promotion in this northeast area of the country, except for Ring of Honor. He recently went to Japan for Dragon Gate USA, and I looked him up and saw him, and the guy's got an incredible vertical leap. One of his signature moves is a standing 450, basically standing on the mat and just starts jumping up and down. And the height he gets on that vertical leap, he's practically the height of the top rope. Goes in the 450. That's something I've never seen before. And he's definitely, got the stamp of approval from Gabe Sapolsky and Dragon Gate, and I thought he'd be a great addition to this tournament. In addition to that, we said Adam Cole was Rookie of the Year for Wrestling Observer Newsletter. Rich Swann was the second runner-up. So, 20 years old, he's been to Japan and he's making a name for himself. The tip of the iceberg as far as his career, and that's what the Super 8's about, or to me anyhow, is guys that are out there. Maybe you've heard of some of them, maybe you haven't, but it's guys trying to get out there, get more exposure. So Rich Swann definitely fits that bill. Bobby Shields is another guy from ECWA. He's been around ECWA for a while, on and off. He did some work with Ring of Honor. He recently went to, I don't know if you ever heard that Taz has a finishing school in New York, and Bobby went there and got a tryout with TNA. And, he's got good size, good look, and he's a really good worker, and I think he's really underrated. And I think he said, he was telling me it's his eighth year in, and he's in the Super 8 on his eighth year in. So definitely another guy that's deserving. Maybe you haven't heard of him as much as some of the other competitors, but I think his training with Taz and his TNA tryouts, that he's another guy on the verge of breaking out. Shima Zion, I don't know if you guys have heard of him. He just debuted with Evolve, and
Larry Dallas of Evolve was very high on him. One of his clients was wrestling him on the iPay-per-view.
Right. Yeah, I had sent a message out to people about who they thought should be in the Super 8, fishing for names that people would throw at me, and somebody said Shima Zion, and I remember he wrestled at DCW Arena maybe 5 years ago for Velocity Pro Wrestling. I was there. I couldn't remember him too well, so I went, great thing about 2011, and you go on YouTube and you can pretty much find anybody. And looked up some of his stuff and talked to some people. And he's a great high flyer. He's very dynamic performer in the ring. Some of the things
he's
does, again, he's got a 630 centon bomb and a he's got a corkscrew dive to the outside that reminds me of AJ Styles, you know, back in the 2002 Super 8.
You were saying, Spug? I'm sorry, he's from the Cleveland area. Shima is.
Yeah, he wrestled for a good long while for AIW here in Cleveland with a guy named Sean Blaze.
Oh, okay.
They were tag team champions for a while. I've seen Shima perform on quite a few occasions.
He wrestles for IWC a lot, too, in Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
I think he has a championship out there. And, again, young kid, but he's very, very dynamic, high-flying, and, I think he's a great addition to the tournament.
I'm sorry. Not to toot our own horn, but the Cleveland area is a real hotbed for up and coming wrestlers. I mean, Sammy Callahan's from Ohio.
Right.
He wrestles in the Cleveland area. You've got Shima Zion.
I think Eric Cannon's in and out of that area.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
I mean, you have several wrestlers who come in and out of the area who are from Ohio that are working their way up, you know, and getting noticed. It just kind of makes me proud.
Yeah, well, that's, you know, AIW, yeah, heard a lot about them. And, I did, I think one of the matches I saw, Shima, was with Johnny Gargano. I think he's from out there also, I think.
Johnny Gargano, yeah.
Yeah, Gargano is also here for Peterson and works for Evolve. He's another one, really good talent.
Right, definitely, yeah. You know, that's the thing about the Super 8 tournament was, I got thousands of emails, but there's just so much great talent out there. And you really don't realize it or appreciate it until you're in a position to put together a tournament like this. And, it's not easy to come down to eight guys. You know, there's definitely guys that, for some reason or another, just didn't make it into that eight and killed me. Not to have them in, not that they didn't deserve it, but, just a numbers game. But, it's good to know that there's a lot of guys out there that, are getting in and they're dedicated and they're talented, and people really need to support independent wrestling because that's where the guys are at,
With Mr. Ooh La La and Shockwave on this card, it sounds like something that should be out of Kaiju Big Bottle an actual Super 8 card. Do you ever think about maybe making like a Manhattan Skyline or something and just letting those two powerbomb each other through it?
Mr. Ruhalala would not, I don't think, want to take that bump, neither would Shockwave. Again, Ruhalala's in the Battle Royal, which, is a match that we have to, get all of our regulars, as part of the show, but, Shockwave, you just got to do a little bit more research on him. You're going to have to watch the tournament and see, what he pulls out.
Have you ever seen Kaiju, by the way?
Have ever seen what?
It was a promotion out of Boston for a while, and it was called Kaiju Big Battle, and it was essentially Japanese monster wrestling.
I think Shockwave's done a few similar matches. There's a match of him on YouTube with Mecha Mummy.
Yeah, that's Kaiju Big Battle. That's Kaiju Big Battle. It was run by the nefarious Dr. Cube. And
that's really the guy's name, the nefarious Dr. Cube?
Well, he was the nefarious Dr. Cube, and he...
Okay.
He had a surgeon's outfit on and a cube for a head, and he would...
Sound like Dr. Heresy.
there was Kung Fu Chicken Noodle and Super Toast, and there were, I mean, it was really funny. I mean, they never took themselves seriously. It was, I think it was like a 16 by 16 ring, but they would have, you know, like city skylines, you know, like the miniature, you know, somebody would come in and out of cardboard and make these models, and they would just destroy them.
Well, you know, it's funny. You know, the best way I could describe Shockwave to you guys, if you're not familiar with him, is if you're familiar at all with Chikara and a lot of their performers.
Oh, yeah, we've talked Chikara.
A lot of them are over-the-top costumes and personalities, but they got some great workers there. So, you know, and that's how I look at Shockwave, you know. He's definitely got the character. The kids love him. He's not going to wrestle a five-star match when he's wrestling Mr. Ooh-La-La. But when he's in the Super 8, I think he definitely has the tools and the skills to go and get it done. And, you know, the shows that we have with Shockwave, whenever there are quote-unquote names that come in, they all just mark out for him. They love his gimmick. You know, they'll all say, oh, that guy's nothing but a gimmick, this or that, but they're first in line. They want to, you know, take out their phone and get a picture with him, you know, because, you know, his gimmick is just so unique. But he's definitely, underneath the armor and bodysuit, he can definitely go. And like I said, if you think of Chikara and the guys there, like the Colony, and, you know, I mean, if you see their Siren Portal, I think they're a great team, but they're hypnotizing people during middle of the match. You know,
yeah, Mason Spug, to clue you in, Joe, these guys host a show Wednesday nights on this network that's called Utaku Talk Live, which is basically a geek fest anime type thing. And Mace just found actually the Mechamummy versus Shockwave on YouTube, and he types in big huge letters, Shockwave uses the old school Transformers theme. So we're all popping a moment there too. I'm going to save that for later to watch. I mean, with this promotion, I wanted to ask this of you. Has there ever been, even when Mr. Kettner was running this organization, was there ever a desire to try to expand like how Ring of Honor is done, go almost nationwide, or is the business model the best, you know, stay in this area and this is how we've survived since 1967? Did Kettner give you any advice?
You know, here's an interesting trivia question, and when I get done this, I do want to go back to the tournament, because there's one guy I didn't talk about, and he's your guest tonight, Austin Aries. But the first Super 8 tournament, I talked to Ace Darling about this about a week ago. The first Super 8 tournament in 1997 originally was put together to crown a TV champion. They had got local TV. And Kettner and Ace Darling and I think a few others, Simon Diamond, Lance Diamond, Pat Kenny.
Oh, yeah.
And I think Inferno, Danny Inferno, and maybe Crowbar, which is Devin Storm. I think they all came up with the idea of, hey, let's do this tournament to crown a champion. And they did it. And, you know, the TV didn't exactly work out. But the tournament survived. So I think at that point, the idea was to keep it local and keep it, more to the fans they had. Like I said, you knew everybody's name. It was like Cheers, you know. And, you know, TV can be very dangerous for independent promotions. But my favorite analogy is that, you know, the first music video on MTV, video killed the radio star. A lot of times I say TV killed the indie promoter. A lot of indie promotions that go on TV, you know, it's not too long after that things don't work out. You know, I mean, you've seen that even with ECW. I think that was one, not the only problem, but one of the problems. I think indie wrestling just really plays well to a live audience. You know, and again, even my reservations, you know, with an IPay-per-view, I just think indie wrestling is a as a live experience. But I think with the Super 8, definitely has somewhat of a name. PWI's covered it every year. So, you know, I think people know it from the magazine.
Yeah, I think Brady Hicks is involved with you guys too, right? He's been doing podcasts for the event.
Brady Hicks. Yeah, Brady writes for the magazine. I'm still technically a photographer. I haven't worked in a, you know, since I started promoting. I just between two promotions and I have two little kids, I have a certain amount of time to spend on wrestling. So
look, technically I'm a radio host, so
I don't have a lot of time for the photography, but they still use some of my archive stuff. But you know, get back at the tournament with Austin Aries. You know, when I first talked to him about doing the tournament, you know, he had told me in 2004 that he never really wrestled outside of the Midwest. And you know, the first time that he worked outside of that area was the Super 8, and you know, he lost in the finals to Chris Daniels. But I remember that night I was there, and I remember everybody. At that time, that was Chris Daniels' second win. He's won it twice, the Super 8. And but everybody was talking about Austin Aries. And, you know, I don't think people in the Midwest or California would have knew about the Super 8 if it wasn't for PWI Magazine's coverage of it. I think they had a lot to do with it. You know, even as you go in the information age and the newsletters and the internet, you know, to me, PWI is still, magazine business isn't like it used to be all around, but it's still the bridge to the past. They still play an important part in WWE. WWE has a relationship with them, mainly because they have all archive photos before 1984. 1984, WWE Magazine started, but they really didn't have the photo library from pre-84, and they didn't have the photo library for NWA and every other promotion that, you know, Vince picked up. So, you know, PWI definitely is a big part of the Super 8 name. Definitely got it out there to people. A lot of these guys in the tournament told me they grew up reading the magazine, saw that there was guys, you know, in the business making a name for themselves. They weren't, you know, the size of Hulk Hogan. They were, you know, guys their size, normal size guys, and, you know, it was something that they looked forward to and inspired them.
You know, I just wanted to backtrack real quick. You brought up ECW and that, you know, you think that part of the reason that they, of their demise was television and how television doesn't really help the indie promotions. But just for ECW's sake, ECW's demise was centered around the fact that Paulie couldn't handle a checkbook. I mean, plain and simple.
Well, I mean, I wasn't there at the time. I was a referee for ECW in the very beginning. So, you know, everybody could speculate why things happened. I think there was a lot of reasons what happened. Yeah, definitely one. It's not easy running a wrestling promotion. You know what I mean?
You're right.
The bottom line is, you know, I'll see reports of an independent show that maybe they drew 1,500 people, and you're like, wow. And but then you see who's on the show. You know, Matt Hardy, Jeff Hardy, Jerry Lawler, Tommy Dreamer. Well, you got to pay these guys. You know, if you're going to have those guys on the show, you better draw 1,500 people or you're going to take a bath. You know, so the bottom line is, you know, you could have 50 people in the crowd and have everybody work for free and everybody donate everything and make money. You know, so you know, the bottom line is to take in more money than you're putting out. I think at the time ECW's popularity got to a point where, you know, Vince McMahon's ears perked up, and you know, even WCW to an extent, they were looking there. I think they were taking guys quicker than they can make new stars. You know, I mean, you know, like I said, ECW Jim Kettner, one of the reasons why they did it with TV was because the attendance went down. You know, people could come watch it on TV. If you know, and it's very hard doing TV. I mean, even if you read in the, you know, the sheets in the beginning, the pay-per-views and pay-per-views and TV of Ring of Honor, you know, some of the people were just merciless and just ripping the production apart. And, you know, that's a lot of money, you know, to get production to look like WWE. I mean, you're talking about billions and billions of dollars, you know, versus a very modest budget. And but the bottom line is people are going to compare the two as equals and say, this isn't WWE production, you know. So I think there's a lot of different reasons why ECW, you know, I think it was just, you know, a change too, you know, overexposure, you know, our shows, like I said, they're family shows. The first time we had a chair shot, the crowd went crazy because we hadn't had one for 6 months, you know. And once you go to a certain point, it's like, what do you do next? You know, do you kill somebody? Do you kill somebody in the ring? You know, how far do you go? But, I mean, there's a lot of reasons. There's never one reason why something happens. It's always a bunch of reasons. But, yeah, definitely one is got to be, like you said, you know, if Paul couldn't handle a checkbook or balance a checkbook, you know, that's what, I think Dusty Rhodes said about Jim Crockett Promotions too. So, you know, but there's always, it's never cut and dry, black and white. There's always, you know, it's always a variety of reasons. It's never just one thing.
When you hear the idea of this iPay-per-view, to go back to that for a second, Evolve, Dragon Gate, ROH has been doing it, as a booker / involved with the promoter, is this unfortunately the next thing? Because, I mean, ROH lost their HDNet deal. I was here in Florida with IPW Hardcore / NWA Florida when they had a spot on the, like, a 2 p.m. Friday / Saturday morning thing, and fortunately they fell to it. Is this unfortunately like the next evolution that every indie promoter that's out there is going, well, hey, they did iPay-per-view, we can do it too, and we'll be as big as them?
I don't know. Possibly. You know, again, the reason why I was on board with the pay-per-view was because I thought that the Super 8 had a shot with the name, with the coverage from PWI, and that people, you know, there's a better chance people would know that than if we just did any ECWA show or any TWA show and tried to sell it. So yeah, this is definitely an experiment. Is everybody going to put stuff on my pay-per-view? You know, if you go on Go Fight Live and you go down the events, I know, Matt Bourne's got a group, Fazoo Crew. They were on Go Fight Live. There's a couple other wrestling companies I never heard of. They were on Go Fight Live. So, you know, are they selling, you know, are they getting buys? I don't know. You know, you gotta be careful in wrestling, you know. Like I said, in the early 90s, you know, I refereed TWA in the beginning of ECWA, but I did a lot of other local indies, and, you know, one of the things you would hear, a promoter say that would make your ears perk up was, we're getting TV. And when somebody would say that, it'd be like, okay, this promotion's not gonna be around in 6 months, because, you know, I think if you want to get on TV and you want to make T-shirts and you want to do DVDs, I think all that's great. I think if that should be done, I think the focus though should be getting people in the building, you know. And it's hard to get people in the building, especially in the Northeast area of the United States. As great a shows as Evolve has, I've heard that they've had, you know, some attendances that were disappointing. And, you know, people only have a certain amount of money. The other great thing about the Super 8, by the way, talking about money, is that front row's $20, which is sold out, but every other seat's $15. And I've done research on other promotions in the area, and most of them are, you know, $20 and up. Some of them have $35 front row. I know Evolve and Dragon Gate, and really Dragon Gate has to have a more expensive ticket price because, you know, you're bringing in all this talent overseas. But, you know, for $15, I think you got some of the, you know, eight top workers, you know, a great show, it's 15th annual show. I mean, for $15, I think it's, you know, it's a no-brainer for, you know, local wrestling fans.
The event is the ECWA Super 8. It does take place this weekend, and it is an early show. If you're thinking, oh, man, like, I don't know. The doors on this event are 2 o'clock. The bell time is 3:45. And we totally skipped over probably one of the other big draws of this event, and that would be your guest hostess, and that would be the most recent inductee to the WWE Hall of Fame, Miss Sunny. In the last couple minutes here, how did Sunny get involved in this?
Well, when we were putting the event together, I was talking to Mike about having a guest host, the 10th annual. J.J. Dillon did it, and I thought he was great. J.J.'s just... I'm a big fan of Crockett in mid-80s, and I always liked the Horsemen, and I always liked J.J. I think he's a really likable guy, and I thought he did a great job. And I said, you know, it's the 15th annual, you know, we should have somebody. So we went through a list of names, and, you know, Mike kind of surprised me saying, Sonny. At the point, there wasn't really a lot of talk about her with the Hall of Fame. The Hall of Fame talk started a little after. She actually did a show for us, TWA, in the same building on March 20th. So we had her March 20th. She refereed a women's match. This time, she'll be doing the hostess deal. And, you know, I think she's, I think, you know, she's a known name, and she's likable. She has a lot of energy and enthusiasm, and I think she was a great choice for this tournament, and it worked out. I guess for us too that she got all this recent publicity with the Hall of Fame. So believe it or not, you talk about we talked about moving from Delaware to Jersey. And whether people were happy or not, a lot of them didn't care once we announced Sonny was going to be there. the 40-minute drive all of a sudden didn't matter when they knew that Sonny was going to be there. So, I think she'll add a lot to the event, and she'll be a part of the opening ceremony and a presentation of the trophy. So. Looking forward to seeing her again. She was actually part of TWA, like I said, when I was a referee in the early 90s. Chris Candido was just starting out. Sabu was just starting out. We had the original Sheik on our shows, and he would bring Sabu with him. And Sabu and Chris Candido worked some of the battle royals that we had. Sonny's been a part of wrestling this area for a long time, and looking forward to her, adding that. Her charisma to the tournament and the ceremonies.
The event, as I said, is this weekend. It is April 30th, Flyers Skate Zone, which is 601 Laurel Oak Road in Voorhees, New Jersey. Doors are 2, bell time is 3:45. The website is, and it's a big name, so give me one second. It is ECWA Pro Wrestling, all one words, nospaces.com. Or you can call 609-220-5598. You can also do tickets on PayPal. They can be purchased at the door. Definitely go and check this event out. Thank you so much for taking time out for us this evening.
Guys, I really appreciate it. And, I of course want everybody to watch the Super 8. But, I always get this in quick before I go. No matter where you live, wherever you're listening to this, you can actually see the Super 8 on Go Fight Live, but on a regular, monthly basis, whatever the independent promotion you have around you, you really gotta try to support it, because, if there's something that you like and you like pro wrestling and you want it to continue and thrive, you got to support the young guys that are trying to make it. You know, without the fans, there, you know, there is nothing. So, you know, these guys really work for the love of it and the passion of it. So, you know, check out your local indies, and I hope you check out the Super 8 too. Thank you for having me on.
Thanks, man. And coming up after the break, we'll continue the Super 8 chat with one of the competitors from this event. Austin Aries will be coming to Online World of Wrestling Radio after the break.
There are plenty of wrestling radio shows that consider themselves to be award-winning, yet they are full of flaws. While Wrestle Talk Radio continues to bring you the best wrestling talk on the internet today, with no production flaws. Tune in Sunday nights for Wrestle Talk Radio, the best value in wrestling radio. We're just saying.
Wrestling-based website on the internet today brings you everything from everywhere. The WWE, TNA, Ring of Honor, the Indie Scene, all this and more can be found on one site. If you're obsessed with everything wrestling, head on over to www.onlineworldofwrestling.com. News, views, and information from the world of professional wrestling is right at your fingertips, only a mouse click away, with every single page chock full of information and news on your favorite wrestling stars, such as
Chris Jericho,
Eric Bischoff,
Sid Vicious,
Mick Foley.
Plus, the most definitive source for all the best audio and video the internet has to offer. As well, news articles and blogs from some of the best-known internet wrestling stars today, and the most in-depth and detailed profiles and galleries of the biggest and brightest stars of today.
Rob Van Dam.
Mr. Kennedy!
Christian Cage.
Brett Berry.
Janice Michelle.
Christy Hemme.
Jay Lethal.
Yesterday.
Brett the Hitman Hart.
The Sergeant Slaughter.
Ted DiBiase, the Million Dollar Man.
Paul Hogan, the greatest of all time.
Jimmy Vance, the Boogie Woogerman.
And tomorrow.
Peter Wilson. Natty Neidhart.
Harry Smith. Jack Evans.
Get into the world of wrestling online. It's the site the pros use. Online World of Wrestling.
www.onlineworldofwrestling.com.
Check
it out today.
What up, Mott? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. This is somebody doing a really bad impression of Macho Man Randy Savage telling you to snap in to WrestleTalk Radio right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Oh, yeah. Dig it.
Have a certain passion. Maybe you're a geek, a wrestling fan, a sex enthusiast, or you just need something to do for the evening. Then come check out the Wild Talk Radio Network, providing you with the latest in online entertainment. Whether it's getting in the ring with Wrestle Talk Radio, or getting a little R-rated with CB Radio or Anything Goes, or whether you just want to play a game of Dungeons & Dragons with the geeks over to Talkie Talk Live. All you gotta do is head on over to www.wildtalkradio.com and check out all of our daily programming. Wild Talk Radio Network. Come and get wild with us.
Here's a quick message going to all the geeks out there. If you want to listen to three guys talk your language, tune in to Otaku Talk Live, Wednesday nights, 9 p.m. Eastern, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. What? You expect me to be funny? We do that on the show. So So tune in. Listen. I demand it.
Hey, this is former WWE superstar Shawn Michaels.
Hey, I just can't stand.
And you are listening to Wild Talk Radio.
Do we want to get right?
Welcome back to All My World of Wrestling Radio here on Def Leppard Night. As you kind of figure with the music, they are on tour with Heart right now. They have a live double CD coming out called Miraball. You can find that in stores in June. Thanks to Joe Zanoli of ECWA for joining us for the last hour. An interview that I thought was going to be like 10 minutes, and he's here for an hour, and it was amazing to hear the history of this event. As I said, it takes place April 30th at Flyer Skate Zone, 601 Laurel Oak Road in Voorhees, New Jersey. If you're trying to spell it, yes, it's like Jason Voorhees of Friday the 13th fame. We're going to be discussing the 15th annual ECWA Super 8 tournament. We're also going to talk some Evolve, some Dragon Gate USA, some NWA Hollywood, if you've been watching them online, especially with the new NWA World Champion, which we'll address in a little while. One of the competitors in the event that Joe just talked about is joining us here. He is Austin Aries. Thank you for taking time out of your schedule for being with us tonight.
Hi-de-ho, neighbors. Not a problem.
When you first heard...
Is that copywritten? Hi-de-ho, neighbors?
It might be.
Okay.
That's okay. We've had enough fun with Jerry McDivitt of the WWE and the TNA lawyers. Everybody's listening to us going, oh, yeah, we can use that on our show, right? They said it on their show, so we can use it. Being that you're a part of NWA Wrestling from Hollywood, which you can see online, and if you live in California, you can see it. When you first heard that Cole Boom Boom or Classic Cole Cabana lost the championship this past weekend in Jacksonville to the Sheik, did that immediately send chills down your spine of going, oh, crap, I'm in the top 10, I'm going to have to face this guy? Or are you thinking, I probably can knock him off easier than Cabana?
The Sheik from Detroit, the Sheik?
No, he's based out of Florida, this one. Different Sheik. No, he works for Pro Wrestling Fusion.
Oh, the Sheik. Oh,
yeah, that Sheik.
Gotcha. Yeah, that Sheik. Sorry.
Yeah, he gets that a lot from when I met him, and I'm like, okay, I didn't mean that Sheik. Put the scythe down, please.
I would imagine, yeah. There's a couple other Sheiks. That was kind of like when this local promotion on here started up and said, I'm going to call myself the IWA. It's like, I want to look into that. There's been a couple of other IWAs. But, I was obviously a little shocked. Colt had just captured that after a lengthy chase. And, really, if you look at the momentum where that title was, Adam Pearce had a great run with it, kind of helped bring back some of the prestige of the title. And then, for Colt Cabana to take it, that was... looking forward to having him get a chance to take the ball and run with it, because the guy's such a, he's kind of hot right now. He's got lots of different projects that's working. He's growing his fan base, and I thought it would have been good for the NWA title, but wrestling is always unpredictable. You never know what's going to happen. And the Sheik, not Ed Farhard, the different Sheik, now has the title down in Florida. And I don't know if he's going to be making his way to Hollywood or not. If he does, I surely would take a stab, no pun intended, at the title.
Yeah, I found it amazing, being that I'm based out of the Tampa Bay area, that the three major championships, the World Championship, the World Junior Championship, and the World Tag Team titles, are held out of Florida, which would be at one point in the 70s and early 80s with Dusty Rhodes down here running with Eddie Graham. It was one of the big hotbeds. Do you ever look at that as in your background? Have you ever thought, wow, I would have liked to have been around during the territorial days, or do you think, I don't need that traditional stuff?
I would have loved to have been around the territorial days. To be quite honest, I'm not sure if I would have been big enough back in those days. Obviously, the size of the competitors has come down a little bit on the more independent scenes. But you know, there were plenty of competitors back then too who held their own, who weren't necessarily heavyweights. I'm not going to go through a whole list, but I think we can all, you know, have a half dozen that come to mind. I thought it was a great time for wrestling just because it gave guys a chance to apply their craft. And then obviously with the different territories, when you kind of had wore your welcome out somewhere and weren't really making the money anymore or weren't a draw, you go kind of recreate yourself and have steady work somewhere else. And you also had, you know, promoters for as good as they could working together to keep all those different territories thriving so that there was business for everybody. And I think, as we all know, there's nothing that exists quite like that anymore. You know, honestly, the wrestling scene outside of the big one or two companies is really hurting. So it'd be nice if there'd be some kind of revival of that so the guys who take this seriously could find steady work outside of just a Friday or a Saturday.
We have a chat room question from Jersey Girl who says, I've seen that you train folks in Ring of Honor, and now you have a facility known as the Foundation. Can you explain the major differences between the two?
Obviously, the Ring of Honor facility is really nice. You know, they had a little more financial backing to where they, you know, could have a facility with weights and you know, a nice ring, and obviously the name recognition that goes with that. And then also they have a platform that once guys graduate from the school, they're immediately kind of put into a promotion with a lot of guys who are really, you know, the top of the class as far as wrestling goes. The Foundation is really more of a throwback to what I broke in with, which is just kind of the bare bones foundation of wrestling. Nothing fancy. You're not paying for bells or whistles. You're going to come in there. We're going to work hard. We're going to, you know, learn the basics of wrestling and really that foundation, which is why I named it that, because I think so many guys nowadays, they want to build a big fancy mansion without really understanding that you need a real solid foundation to build that on, or it's going to crumble. So we work on the basics. We work on the fundamentals. We work on the right attitude about, you know, and about what we really do in the ring and what the meaning is. And I'm not sure if I'm going to be a part of that again this year, as I'm not quite sure if I'm going to be remaining in Minnesota. But I'm sure Terry Fox will have the camp up and running again as long as there's interest.
Austin and Spug, I wanted to go back to something real quick. You're talking about the smaller territories and the days when a guy could, you know, if he wore out his welcome, could go somewhere else and make some more money. Mm-hmm. With companies like Dragon Gate and Evolve and Chikara becoming up and coming and more name recognized, do you think the days of the territory are starting to return just a little bit to where, as opposed to having, you know, your local indie wrestler who would just travel, say, the state of Ohio or the state of Pennsylvania, you know, now can go quite a few areas and make a big deal of money?
Well, I don't know what you call a big deal of money.
Well, I mean, you know, more than gas money. Yeah, more than gas money for the weekend.
Well, you know, honestly, the sad reality is that a lot of these guys are making just that. You know, I think people would be surprised what the financial figures are in all these promotions. Ring of Honor, right down to the Dragon Gate and Evolve, which obviously are a little newer to the game. And the problem is because they're all really pulling from the same fan base, which is really the internet-driven fan base of real diehard fans. And unfortunately, that fan base isn't going to sustain anything like the territories did. And then the problem you're finding is that those more casual fans, A, you know, some of those people just aren't around anymore, but then B, a lot of them are turned off because there's so many promotions that run in every area that really have no business running shows. They put on the product and they put wrestlers in the ring that don't belong there. And that sours a lot of those casual fans to not come back to support the few promotions that are in every area that actually do it the right way. And until there's some solution to that problem, you know, until the guys who used to be buying tickets stop running their own shows, I think that the territories themselves aren't going to really return. They won't really have a chance. because that internet fan base, while yeah, there's maybe a half dozen of promotions that can be somewhat viable and can give some decent paydays here and there to guys, it's just not something that's really, in the big picture, something that can sustain itself as far as how the territories used to be.
You may remember me or not. I've met you at a few FIP events that Sal and Gabe and Lenny Leonard were running here. Do you feel when you were here for those events, they ran into that issue in Florida because there's so many promotions? I mean, they were running in Crystal River and Brooksville, but all through Florida, TNA is a two-hour drive away, and they're letting fans in for free there. Do you think that hurt them too?
Well, and absolutely. You know, I mean, you have, you know, the wrestling fans down there, if they want to watch wrestling, they can watch it once a week for free and, you know, and be on TV. You also have, you know, FCW down there, which is going to be running. But really, it's, you know, as much as I've traveled, either in this country and then even internationally, it seems no matter where I go, it's the same issues and the same problems. You know, you've got 10 local promotions, and they're all content to draw 30 to 50 people, most of them friends and family. You know, and out of those 10, there's maybe one or two that really have any business putting on shows. And, you know, people say they do it because, oh, they just love wrestling so much. But if they looked at the big picture and they took a step back, they realize that they're hurting wrestling a lot more than they're helping it. And, you know, and a lot of it falls on the shoulders of a lot of the wrestlers because we don't really protect the business like we used to. You know, the wrestling business, it's kind of opened up, you know, more. People are smarter to it. People think they're in the know. You know, they're able to walk across the lines a little easier than it was back in the territory days. That stuff just didn't happen back then.
Austin Aries joining us here on All In World of Wrestling Radio. If you're sitting in our chat room and going, I got a question for him, ask it in the chat room, or you can call 267-297-1397, or you can Skype Sir Rockin. We had an email question that I'm one of these hosts that, if somebody emails it, I'll ask it. I don't know if the Avenue 2 subject's going to answer it. It comes from LaVonda Bell of Nashville, Tennessee.
LaVonda!
I remember back a while, you were very vocal about the way that WWE cast, in quotes, their Tough Enough show. Can you elaborate on it, if possible? So hopefully you can answer LaVonda's question.
I mean, I've caught a couple of the shows. It's a reality show, but I think the reality's in quotes, and that's no different than any other reality show. You know, that stuff's as scripted as anything else. And I think if you look at the way they cast that show, a guy like me would have threatened whatever plans they may have had. You know, I don't think they wanted real competition on that show. I don't think they wanted people that were truly qualified. In some aspects, and you know, and then if you look at some of the things that have happened as far as certain people who have been cut from the show, then signed the contracts a couple of days later, who quite frankly don't have a lick of talent, you got to really question, you know, the vision of what that's the show's supposed to be. So it's a television show, and it's no different than lots of other television shows out there. And I think, you know, the thing for me, I didn't apply to the WWE. I applied to be on a television show, and I wasn't cast for whatever reason. I don't think it speaks to the quality of what I do in the wrestling business, and that's how I took it, because I've gone on lots of different castings for different television shows and commercials and things like that, and you know, it's not the first time I've not got the part. So you know, there was no crying in my spilled milk.
Yep, got another email question. This came from Cindy Larson of Nashua. I've seen you over the years in ROH and FIP, and during your time with that Orlando promotion that we like to talk about, but we may or may not tonight. What led you to you've changed your look, is what she rambles a bit, so I'm just going to chop her question up here. You have changed your facial hair, your hair, and that kind of look over your career. Was that a decision by you, promoters telling you, hey, dude, this may work for you? What led to the creation? And she also asks if you could give some background into the actual name of Austin Aries.
Right. you know, the one thing I'm kind of proudest of my wrestling career, and depending on your perspective, some people say it's been successful. Other people say, I'm a never has been. But the one thing that I'll take away from this when I do walk away is that 98.9% of everything that's happened in my career, I've had creative control over. Story arcs, the changes in characters, a lot of the way my matches have gone, my stories have gone. That's on me. And so whether, you know, if you do like what I've done for the last 10 years, I'll take the credit. If you don't like it, I'll take the credit for that too, because really, from my time in Ring of Honor to even really my time in TNA with the Austin Starr character, those were my decisions that I made. So, as far as the different facial hair and the different hairstyles, I think I just got some style and I got some cool facial hair. So, that started before I got into wrestling. You know, man, I always wanted facial hair. Back when I was like 14, I used to wash my face in Rogaine just to try to speed up the process. Unfortunately, that doesn't help you much. It just gives you hairy palms, and then everybody thinks you're a chronic masturbator, which I was, but I just didn't need everybody thinking that.
Go ahead, Maze, ask your question. I need a moment to calm down.
Wow.
You're lying, right? Yeah. Yes.
How do you lead on that answer, seriously? just got to ask, like, I'm looking over the match history that they've got up on OWW's main website, and I've noticed, you know, you've been an international man of wrestling. You know, you've wrestled down here in Australia a couple of times, you've wrestled in Europe, you've wrestled across the USA. I couldn't find any mention of Japan, but I'm guessing you've been there. Have you noticed any difference in the way wrestling works around the world, or is wrestling truly an international language?
As far as actually competing, I think there's definitely an international language to it. And obviously every style is a little different no matter where you go. Obviously in Japan, which I have been to for Dragon Gate a half dozen or so times, just the Japan style wrestling is a little different. The fans, I think, receive it and treat it a little differently. I've been to Australia, and Australia, quite honestly, was a lot, you know, the style from where I wrestled was, I think, definitely influenced by the U.S. I think the same can be said for a lot of Europe, if you're not talking more of the actual, British style wrestling. Obviously, Mexico, they do everything backwards. I think it's a mix of both. I think at a certain base level, there's an international language of wrestling, and I think everywhere you go, it's just got a little different flavor.
Did you happen, when you were in Australia, Chris Hero was unfortunately made famous for appearing on an Australian TV show. You entered legally, I hope, correct?
My memory's kind of failing me at the moment on that. I might have been there for a wedding. Perhaps I was... I'm not quite sure what I was doing there. But they allowed me in, and they allowed me to leave. And I'd like to come back legally, yes.
Austin Aries joining us here on Online World of Wrestling Radio. If you're just joining us, he's here to talk with you, the fans. He's also here to take your emails and also talk about ECWA Super 8. We had Larry Dallas on a couple weeks ago, along with Rebby Sky, to talk about the Evolve I pay-per-view. Talk about that experience of going to the how does the Sal, Gabe, and everyone involved, they explain to the talent about the way this iPay-per-view thing works? I mean, because you've definitely done TV with ROH and TNA and other promotions, but is it a different feel being there for this iPay-per-view format in your mind?
There's a lot of similarities. I mean, obviously, you're live. You know, so that adds, I think, a little bit to the, maybe I could say stress level, just because everything needs to go off without a hitch, especially these first shows, because as they were unveiling the, WWNLive.com, you know, those first impressions were important, so they wanted to make sure that the stream was up and was good, wanted to make sure the product was good, and for a lot of these guys, it's a first exposure to that type of wrestling where you're You know, you need to make sure you're playing to cameras as well as the fans, you know, and you're really wrestling more for a television product type product than you are for just a live event. I really think if you look at the internet pay-per-view, it's just the next wave in technology. You know, when I first started out, the whole DVD, selling companies didn't exist. That wasn't a format that really had taken on yet. And as the internet got bigger once that void was kind of created by WWE kind of acquiring everything, you saw that, you know, business model of DVD selling companies start to pop up. And I think now this is just the progression in the technology. The DVDs are going to go the way of the VHS, which, you know, went the way of whatever was before that, the reel-to-reel. I don't know, I just at my grandfather's this weekend, and he was showing me some old reel-to-reel tapes, which is pretty crazy. But I think pretty soon, instead of every company printing out DVDs and pressing them and the artwork and mailing it, I think you might just see this complete transition to, live streaming pay-per-view. And I think the appeal to it is it is live. You don't have to wait for the results. You don't have to wait for it to get to your house. You can watch it live as it happens, and there's always a little extra drama when that's occurring because you never know what you're going to see.
This weekend's tournament is not your first time in a tournament, and fans, if you're listening, can go to onlineworldofwrestling.com where you can see Austin's profile along with thousands upon thousands of them. You've been a part of the IWA Mid-South, Ted Petty, the former Sweet Science 16, and other events. How do you mentally prepare for an event like this? Something that you can, I mean, there's certain nights like, you know, Ted Petty, Sweet Science 16, at one point I think grew almost 24 people. How do you mentally prepare, especially when a promoter's hints to the idea of, well, you may be going to the finals? Do you change your training regimen at all? Do you scout out the talent? How do you prepare for an event?
I always scout my talent, if it's someone I haven't really wrestled with before. This also was my first ECW Super 8 tournament. You know, back in 2004 was my first one, and, I was that young, hungry, bright-eyed kid, you know, just looking to make a name for himself. And as you kind of fast forward 7 years later, I'm in a completely different position, as I'm kind of a guy who's established a reputation, and now I find myself kind of more of the hunted, as a lot of these guys are looking to use me to kind of springboard their careers and make a name for themselves. So I think you go into something like this, you obviously realize that the chances, and especially my chances, because I'm so damn good, my chances of wrestling more than one match are probably pretty good. And so I think you go out in your first match and you don't pull every trick out of your bag. You leave a couple of things in there so that if you do go on to round two, you got a few new wrinkles to throw in there, keep the fans entertained, keep your opponent a little off balance. And, and I think the thing about wrestling, it's important to be in good condition, but it's also important to know how to pace yourself. And I've seen guys, get blown up just circling the ring, slapping hands because they're so, they're so pumped up and they're so fired up to get in the ring. And by the time they step between the ropes, they can barely breathe. So I think it's about knowing how to pace yourself. And I think for someone like me who, has been around a little bit, it's not my first rodeo, not my first tournament, not even my first Super 8 tournament. I don't think I'm going to have to worry about nerves. I'm going to go in there, understand what my job is, and go in there and execute that to the best of my ability.
Yeah, for fans just tuning in, if you've been going, okay, yeah, I'm done watching Dancing with the Stars, Jericho's gone, Austin Aries is joining us here. He's a part of the ECWA Super 8 event, which is this weekend in Voorhees, New Jersey. Want to ask, this came from Steve Bosmay, who says, if you can explain to me and my kids who've been wanting to watch DGUSA and Evolve, are there differences in the actual promotions?
Dream Big USA is really just a United States offshoot of the Dragon Gate promotion, which is one of the bigger promotions over in Japan. And as such, you're going to see a lot of infusion of the Japanese Dragon Gate USA stars, and I could name the list. You got Cena, Dragon Kid, BB Hulk, you got Yamato, Pac, Yoshino, Doi. I mean, these are all guys that I've competed with when I've been over there. And they bring a different style and a different flavor to the ring. Very, very, high impact, quick paced. Type of wrestling. Their tag matches are unique in the way that they're run. So they have a unique style all to themselves. Obviously, Evolve is a United States company. It's got a lot of the young, hungry kind of guys that are trying to make a name for themselves on an independent scene to keep stepping up the ladder. And I think with that kind of crew, you have guys that are going to go out there and they're going to bust their ass, they're going to try to be innovative, and they're going to try to grab the audience attention. I think you can kind of look at what Evolve's doing and kind of look back at what Ring of Honor did early in its existence, and you can see some parallels, and obviously Gabe Sapolsky would be one of the constants of those two things, and I think the premise is kind of the same. Guys go out there and have the best match of the night, and let the fans and let your performance dictate where you are going to be on the card. And Evolve also has its own, kind of wrinkle where they don't have a champion, but everything's based about wins and losses. So it gives you that sport feel to where wins matter. Everyone's trying to peg up the rankings and they know that, whether they win or they lose the match, actually has meaning. And I think that's a new concept that, it hasn't been seen anywhere else. And I think that eventually, for those people who like wrestling more for the sport of it, I think it's something they could catch on.
Yeah, we have a caller on the line. His name is Randy McWilliam. Thank you for coming
Randy.
On, Randy. Your question for Austin Aries.
Yeah, I had a – well, I could ask that quite – I could. Or,
ask
hey,
it?
Austin, had a couple
hey, Randy.
Questions. Good. Thanks, Austin. My bad. Since you joined Blood Warriors in Dragon Gate USA, are you planning on going to Dragon Gate anytime soon to wrestle there? Since I know Ricochet and Brody have wrestled in Japan since they joined up.
I don't know. I think I'd like to think that option's on the table. They got to show me they can go more than 2 or 3 months with an earthquake and a tsunami before I plan to go land myself on a little island in the middle of the ocean. For right now, with just with where I'm at, I don't see myself in the near future going over to Japan to compete. But again, things can change. If the right situation presents itself, it's definitely something I would entertain.
Thank you. And the other question was, who's been one of your favorite opponents or feuds in terms of? Well, I don't know if I want to specify a company, but let's say,
Midwest Independent Wrestling. No, just kidding. That wasn't the promotion you were thinking.
Nah.
He can think whatever promotion he wants.
Sorry.
He can think whatever promotion he wants. Just don't say those initials, man, because they don't matter.
Okay.
I don't care if they're the initials you want. I don't give a crap.
Okay, go ahead.
Whatever you want.
Okay,
we're going to say crush. We're going to say crush. Or are we going to say glow?
I didn't know you worked for Glow. That's pretty cool, man.
Go back and pop the tapes in. You might see an A-double appearance. You never know. Actually, if you go pop in an old crush tape, you might see me. Maybe Russellicious. You never know what might happen. Special guest referee.
Yeah, ask your question, Randy. Go ahead.
Yes.
Go ahead, Randy.
Begin.
Sorry, I like to say the name Randy.
It's all right. we'll just say Ring of Honor then, just because that's the only, because I don't really, there were some TNA feuds, but really ROH feuds. I really want to, which one was your favorite from there, so to say?
I don't know. I mean, it's always hard for me to pick favorites. People ask who's your favorite wrestler, or your favorite match, or your favorite opponent. And, for me, I enjoy the variety of it. My feud with Jimmy Jacobs was something completely different than I had, really encountered in my career, and it brought a different side of me out that I enjoyed. Obviously, my rivalry with, Bryan Danielson, Daniel Bryan, from a technical standpoint, brought something different out of me that helped me grow as a wrestler. So, I mean, and you can go to TNA, my feud with Bob Backlund before I left there was something I was thoroughly enjoying because he's just such a unique, intelligent guy, and I enjoyed the interaction I got with him. And thanks to Bob Backlund, I bought my Jack LaLanne juicer and juice fresh carrot juice with apples and ginger on a regular basis, and hopefully it keeps me as strong and as fit as he is for a man of his age. Just off the top of my head, those are some of the few that I can think of. I had a solid tag career with Roderick Strong where we feuded with, different people, the Briscoes and things like that. So I've really enjoyed all of it, to be honest. Those are some of the ones that have stood out the most. And I hope that answers your question. And it wasn't a feud, but I also enjoyed wrestling against Christy Hemme. That was enjoyable as well for completely different reasons.
Thanks for calling in, Randy. Thanks for calling in.
Thanks,
Randy.
he's having a blast. Had a chat room question. Like I said, they ask him, so I kind of feel like Sean Oliver when he does the kayfabe commentary DVDs. It's like, I don't know if I should ask that. I'm going for it. One of our chat room listeners wanted to know, what were your thoughts on being the man who ended the undefeated Samoa Joe streak in ROH back when the championship meant anything? Ooh, that's a low blow.
Yeah, that was a low blow. I still think that if you look at all the belts in wrestling, that still probably has the most meaning. So I would have said the NWA championship until recently, but there's a low blow of my own.
No problem.
Any oh, people love that shit. Come on. Oh, excuse my language. Oh, wait, can I swear here?
You can. I'm not going to stop you.
All right. Shit's not really even a swear word anymore. Just anyway.
Nah.
I won't gratuitously use it, but
Mace's bag is dropping bombs like crazy. When he took a quick hiatus and he used all the George Carlin seven words you couldn't say, and I'm like, okay, sure. So what?
And they're just words, people. I mean, it's, we can all get over it. But I feel the same way about racism. Like, let's just get over it. Especially in comedy, there should be no barriers. Comedy is like the last true freedom of speech that we have. So let's put the sensitive sides away and just laugh a little bit. As far as the question, Samoa Joe, obviously you're put in a position like that to follow a man who did the things he did, and obviously it's a great honor. And there's also a lot of pressure and. That comes with that is you want to continue the momentum of the things that he did. So, I'm very thankful that I was given that opportunity. And, had I not and had that went to someone else, we don't know if we would even be sitting here talking to Austin Aries today. And that's something that, I'm aware of and I appreciate.
Got an email question from Mike Shook of Seattle, Washington. I'm an old school fan, and watching your work in ROH and TNA doing the Austin Starr character, all I could think of was you were paying tribute to WWE Hall of Famer superstar Billy Graham, and Russ was like Jesse Ventura. Is that what you were going for?
I don't know that in my mind I had a vision of what I was going for. I think that a couple of those names you threw out there, the Billy Graham and the Jesse Ventura, were definitely guys I enjoyed as a persona. Basically the bottom line is, it came a time where someone needed to kind of stand out in the X division. A lot of the guys were very similar, and for the limited time that we got to showcase our actual in-ring talents, it was important to stand out. And I thought that was an opportunity for me to take my persona and make it more entertainment-friendly, for a television standpoint, and allow me to kind of do something a little bit outside of my comfort zone. And I think that as you look at my characters progress since then into the A double greatest man that ever lived, which I just might be. I think bits and pieces were taken from that. And if someone says that they saw me during that time and they got a little bit of Billy Graham and Jesse Ventura out of it, I would take that as a compliment, as both those guys were thoroughly entertained, in my opinion.
Yeah. This weekend's event, as I said, is unique in that it's the first time the event's being held in New Jersey as opposed to its normal home. When we had Joe on a while ago, he talked about the history of this event. How much do you know about your opponent for this weekend, Beautiful Bobby Shields? Is he someone that has been on your radar or recently came on when they announced he was your opening round opponent?
Well, first of all, we want to get the guy's full name in there. So we want to make sure that we respect him. It's True Talent, Beautiful Bobby the Bobby Shields.
Oh, I didn't know that. Wow.
It is. And okay. We want to make sure we get all of his monikers in there. We don't want to take away from True Talent, Beautiful Bobby the Bobby Shields.
Almost sounds like you're introducing Apollo Creed back in the day.
And I remember the first time I heard that when I saw him on Pro Wrestling Ohio, which I actually got on my former cable carrier. And you know, me and my roommate were taking some of those, and we saw True Talent, Beautiful Bobby the Bobby Shields, and we remarked that it was amazing that the man had so many different names. And so that was my first exposure to him. Looks like he keeps himself in good shape. From the work I've seen, he definitely looks competent in the ring. And but I think we all know that it's going to be a test for him to see if he can step up and compete with someone in my level. I've never been shy as far as being self confident. I know what I bring to the table, what I can do in the ring, and I think just as importantly is I know what I can't do in the ring. And so I try to stay within my strengths. And obviously, like I said, I'm the guy that everyone's looking at to try to make a name, at my expense. And so I know these guys are hungry, and they've got, they feel like they've got a lot to gain. Maybe they feel like they've got a lot to lose. I'm sure they all feel like they have a lot to prove. And I kind of find myself in a completely different situation where I have nothing to gain, really nothing to lose, nothing to prove. I'm just going to go in there and do what I do and do it to the best of my abilities, and that's entertain people and be a professional wrestler.
When you look into, if you could forecast ahead here, I personally have seen Sami Callihan and Rich Swann compete here for the Joe Peterson Memorial Cup. Are those names familiar to you at all? And are they possibly, once you get past Bobby Shields and the 600 nicknames he's got, are those two names the ones that you're sitting there going, if I get to them in the semis or the finals, or even Adam Cole if he gets past Sami Callihan, do you think there, and this is an ego question and also just a general one, can anybody beat you in this tournament? If I could go to Vegas and play some money, it's definitely on Austin Aries.
Well, let's put it this way. If you're placing a bet, I'd like to think I'm the heavy favorite. That being said, upsets happen all the time. Guys like Sami Callihan I'm familiar with. I've wrestled him before. Rich Swann, I've had a few run-ins in Dragon Gate, USA. I'm familiar with him. He's very talented. But there's lots of different facets of professional wrestling. And, quite honestly, a lot of these guys, especially nowadays, being younger, probably bring some more athletics than I bring to the table these days. You look at a guy like Rich Swann, he can do a standing 450. I got to climb all the way to the top rope to do mine. Sami Callihan obviously is a guy who feels like he's not getting the respect he deserves. That he's got a chip on his shoulder. But what I bring, I think, is a complete package. I can wrestle any different style you want me to wrestle. And then also you got to take the mental factors into account. And I've been here before. I've done this. I defeated Samoa Joe for the ROH title. I won it a second time. I've wrestled in the WWE ring. I've wrestled in the TNA ring. I've wrestled internationally. There's really nothing I haven't done, and quite frankly, done well. So if you're putting money down, I think the smart bet's on Austin Aries. But again, this is wrestling, and just like, you know, the Sheik showed you down in Florida, anything can happen on any given day.
Yeah. Before we let you go, we've got one more chat room question. Comes from Jersey Girl, who wants to know, Chance Profit is the current NWA National Heavyweight Champion. Is that a championship or any of the NWA on your radar, or are you focused on an overall picture right now?
Yeah, I mean, really, I don't know if there's any championship right now that I'm going to capture outside of maybe the WWE Championship or the World Heavyweight Championship that is really going to satisfy me. As far as the NWA goes, the one championship that I've always really admired is the NWA Junior Heavyweight Championship. You look at some of the lineage of that with Action Mike Jackson and Nelson Royal and Denny Brown, and that's a championship that I would like to say that, you know, possibly one day I could add my name to that list of competitors. Outside of that, really, you know, any championship that's going to bring me a little extra money obviously would be of some interest to me. But there's only a few of those left in wrestling. So,
yeah, if I were a booker, I wouldn't mind seeing Craig Classic versus Austin Aries in an arena near me.
I agree with that 100%. You know, I hear lots of good things about Craig Classic, and he's got a lot of talent. I don't know who he's put that talent up against. You know, and you're only as good as the opposition that you face and that you beat. So anytime Craig Classic wants to put on the Classic, he should get a hold of Austin Aries and make that happen.
All right. As mentioned, I'll mention it one more time, and I'll mention it at the end of the show. It is April 30th, this Saturday, Flyers Skate Zone 601 Laurel Oak Road in Voorhees, New Jersey. The doors are at 2, bell time is 3:45. If you cannot attend the event, you can go to GoFightLive.tv, and I believe it's $14.95 for the event. And as Austin already said, he is the man to put the money down on. Or you're active on the Twitter, right? Is it Austin Aries, all one word? Is that how people can follow you?
Yep. At Austin Aries. I've also got my own YouTube channel. It's Real Healy Real, R-E-A-L-H-E-A-L-Y-R-E-E-L. And, you know, by tomorrow morning there will be a video posted where I'll kind of talk a little bit more about my thoughts about the Super 8. What it means for the different competitors, and why you should go and either buy tickets to see it in person or watch it live on IA pay-per-view.
All right. Coming up after the break, we will get into everything with TNA Wrestling, WWE, Online World of Wrestling Radio. We'll be right back. Hope you enjoyed that interview. We'll be back.
In case you missed it, this is what happens when WTR roasts Tim Stein.
Tim Stein is also not Jewish. It's horrible to assume the man is Jewish just because his name is Stein. You know, maybe that isn't even his real name. I mean, it's probably Goldstein or Steinberg. You don't know. He'd tell you himself if he were here tonight. And I'm told he's taking the day off for some holiday of his. I don't remember what it's called, but he pronounced it with a...
Tim really does work hard at making the WTR network what it is. Seriously, I'm not joking. Somebody pay this guy. He's like 65 years old. He needs retirement. He gets retirement. We get less Tim Stein. It's win-win, gang. Come on.
Happy birthday. You suck. You suck. You suck so bad. That's not true. You don't actually suck. You more or less blow. You've got a perfect face for gay porn, or at least a perfect mouth. That's what JJ tells me.
He's also not a pervert. The last couple of years, he had a wonderful and healthy relationship. He stayed with her every night, constant, wild sex. You know, it's sad when they had to break up because he couldn't find the puncture repair kit. Don't get me wrong, they tried to patch things up, but Tim just couldn't bear the sight of her anymore. not with a duct tape holding her neck closed.
Tune in to all the great programming on the Wild Hawk Radio Network, as you never know what will happen next.
If you're looking for a place to hang out with fellow pro wrestling fans, then look no farther than the official forum of OnlineWorldOfWrestling.com, OWW Genesis. It's the gold standard in wrestling forums. OWW Genesis is the home of over 50, that's right, 50 unique forums that range from current day wrestling news and results in WWE, TNA, ROH, Pro Wrestling Guerrilla, tons of indie promotions, as well. There are forums for you to discuss everything from pro wrestling past, including WCCW, WCW, ECW, and the golden age of pro wrestling. You want more? Wow. Then check out OWW Undisputed. It's the official debate league. Or even check out OWW Takedown, which is the official e-fed of OWW Genesis. You still want more? Damn, you're a picky person. OWW Genesis is also the official forum for Chick Fight and Online World of Wrestling Radio. You want more? God, you are a super cool wrestling fan. Then just head over to the gold standard of wrestling forums, OWW Genesis, right now at OnlineWorldOfWrestling.com.
All right, this is the king of old school, Mr. Wrestling 3, a true legend in professional wrestling, Steve Carino. And if all those nicknames didn't really matter to you, it doesn't matter to many other people, because you're listening to the Online World of Wrestling Radio with Al Mojanijanijanijanijanijanijanijanijanijanijanijanijanijanijanijanijanijanijanijanijanijanijanijanijanijanijanijanijanijanijanijanijanijanijanijanijanijanijanijanijanijanijanijanijanijanijanijanijanijanijanijanijanijanijanijanijanijanijanijanijanijanijanijanijanijanijanijanijanijanijanijanijanijanijanijanijanijanijanijanijanijanijanijanijanijanijanijanijanijanijanijanijanijanijanijanijanijanijanijanijanijanijanijanijanijanijanijanijanijanijanijanijanijanijanijanijanijanijanijanijanijanijanijanijanijanijanijanijanijanijanijanijanijanijanijanijanijanijanijanijanijanijanijanijanijanijanijanijanijanijanijanijanijanijanijanijanijanijanijanijanijanijanijanijanijanijanijanijanijanijanijanijanijanijanijanijanijanijanijanijanijanijanijanijanijanijanijanijanijanijan
Thanks to Austin Aries for coming here to Online World of Wrestling Radio. We get the best of the best in the industry each and every week here. Definitely check out ECWAProWrestling.com, all one word, no spaces. Yeah, if you've ever been wondering that song, Rock of Ages, it's Untergliegen Glatten Glucken. I found out from a behind the music on Def Leppard. I'm a big Def Leppard fan. I'm always like, what the hell is he saying? And apparently that was a phrase that Mutt Lang used during their recording sessions to get them to pay attention and go, okay, we're going to do our thing. So hopefully Jersey Girl, stop watching that voicing thing. Yeah, she's watching The Voice. Too many reality shows. I swear there's a reality show, and maybe it's on in Australia. Mace can tell me if there's a reality show where people sit and watch paint dry. Because it almost
not yet, but they're getting close to it.
Oh, I'm sure. I think if you ever saw Confessions of a Dangerous Mind, which is the unauthorized autobiography of Chuck Barris, who was the creator of the Gong Show and the Newlywed Game and the Dating Game. He joked at the end of the film, and it's in his book, that he said, I'm working on a new game called the Memory Game, where it's three old guys and they all have revolvers in their hand, and they're told the stories of their lives, and the one who doesn't blow his brains out is the winner, gets a refrigerator. Which is just like, if you've seen the film, you're just sitting there going, that sounds like Chuck Barris. Spug, unfortunately, has taken leave of us. The final score, Kidney Stones 1, Spug nothing. Hopefully he'll be available for OTL tomorrow night. And Sunday for the WrestleTalk Radio recap of the Extreme Rules pay-per-view, which we'll talk about in a moment or two here. I was originally going to just go into, hey, how about that TNA Impact last week, until a funny thing happened on the way to the email address, and that would be about the most recent and, in my book, shocking release, and that would be of the multi-time X Division champion, formerly known as the Black Machismo Brother, Jade Lethal, was released this past week. What I'm going to tell you is stuff that I got from sources that I will not name, and someone who I'm definitely not naming until the time is right. He was released over the phone by Head of Talent Relations, Terry Taylor. Lethal last worked for the promotion on a TV scene in the United States for the Lockdown pay-per-view, which he was a part of that multi-person escape match. Stories have circulated over the last few days. He was released to cut costs. To me, I'm just going to interject myself here for a minute. I think that's a load of crap. He lives in the Tampa Bay area. If you've been to ASW Full Throttle, you've seen him at events. So it's not like you're flying the dude in. Sources also told us at Online World of Wrestling Radio that Hulk Hogan, Eric Bischoff, and Vince Russo were not informed of the release, that this was strictly done by Terry Taylor. This also
explains why he got fired by the phone and not by FedEx.
Exactly. Or fax or anything else. Lethal had been working indie shows throughout the United States until TNA raised his rate to $800. Now, that's just as an appearance fee. If you're a promoter, and Mace can attest to it, Spug probably attest to it, I know all the wrestlers can attest to it, that's just his appearance fee. That is not including an airfare out of Tampa, Florida, and a hotel for wherever he is. There's been stories going around that he apparently has been in preliminary talks with World Wrestling Entertainment. I can't confirm or deny that one. In my mind, it's an obvious why not. So I'll shut up, and I'll let Mace pontificate on this. Your initial thoughts when you heard Jay Lethal got the chop?
You want my initial thoughts?
Sure, besides the Jim Cornette face. Or is that what you got?
No, it was more like, oh yeah, brother, I'm free from TNA. I got no paycheck. Oh no. That was the initial thought. I can't help it.
So rocking a thing. My sources are the kids in my daughter's science class. Juliet's in third grade, so she doesn't hop class to class yet. They only leave to go like to art and PE and whatnot. This threw me because I said I see Jay at events and I have a casual friendship with him where just, hey, dude, you know, what's going on with the show and whatnot. And it was just really weird. It's like all of a sudden he was like, cool, I'm the TNA Extreme Champion. It disappeared. And it's like, oh, wow, he's on the road. Cool. And next thing you know, drop it to Robbie E, get it back from Robbie E. And then all of a sudden, hey, Kazarian, boom, gone. And fans can chime in any way they want. Radio at onlinewillowwrestling.com is one of the best ways to do it. Talk in our chat room right now. I always hoped, I know hoping is a bad thing with TNA Wrestling over the almost nine years we've been watching this thing.
Something like that.
You know, he's going to be remembered, obviously, for the Black Machismo shtick, which was amazing to see, and also a great way to get throat lozenges. The other thing that annoyed us was, at least me personally as a wrestling fan, was you put him in with Nature Boy Ric Flair, and this guy went toe-to-toe on the mic with one of the best people ever in the wrestling business on the mic. And what did you do, TNA Wrestling? You picked up the shovel, hit him in the back of the head, put him in a grave, and said, all right, there went that idea.
Pretty much, you know. Jay's gone toe-to-toe with Ric Flair. How many people can say that? And especially the fact that Jay actually came out ahead, in my opinion. He was able to do Nature Boy better than the Nature Boy. That was scary. I remember that promo so well. And I was on the computer. I've got Impact on the television right next to me. I think I was playing World of Warcraft at the time, so I wasn't fully paying attention to television. I'm going, oh, that's Ric Flair cutting a promo. And I just happen to look up. Oh, crap, that's like Jay Lethal. Dude's good. I can tell you what, if he ends up back on the indies, he should try the Man of a Thousand Gimmicks. Because I reckon he could do it. You know, they say I'm the impression man on this network, man. Jay Lethal is the impression on the pro wrestling circuit. That's money right there.
Yeah, I said I was very surprised. Our email address popped off. Phil Hercoe, like, well, what do you think he's going to do? Do you think he's going to... I mean, for me, the natural choice is he's got two choices. One, go back to Ring of Honor, but unfortunately, ROH, not the power that it was when Jay first started there. The other obvious choice is... go to WWE, and he may end up in the same situation like Consequences Creed, where he'll have to go to FCW. Unless you're Sin Cara, who I'm still trying to figure out how he didn't even go. All right, Triple H didn't go. Hey, FCW, go there for a little bit, and maybe we'll lose the hood thing. I don't know. He may end up there for a little while, but yeah.
Hey, if you give Trips a good enough look and a good enough gimmick, you'll skip FCW. Take a look at what they're doing with Kong. I mean, Karma.
Karma. Yeah, gotta love that later. Name. Oh yeah, we'll talk.
She's gonna end up being another Bryan Danielson situation. You know, I see Danielson on the TV. To me, that's the American Dragon, Bryan Danielson. When Kong comes on, it's going to be awesome Kong. They can't brainwash me into thinking other ways.
Jay Lethal, if you're a follower of him on the Twitter, I'm never going to get that damn thing right. He is the Lethal Jay. If you're a promoter and you're listening to our show, and a lot of them do, hi! Hey guys, my contact info is jlethal471@gmail.com. Serious inquiries only, no email, and I'm going like, can you come to my high school? No. Jay Lethal, no, do that. I mean, he may come with the Black Machismo robe, or not, which, that was another one. I dug the stuff, I know I'm harping on this, but I dug the stuff they did with him and Sanjay Dutt and SoCal Val, and that was another one. I almost wanted Randy Savage to show up and have like a face-to-face and like a Doink the Clown move the hand in front of you type thing. And I'm like, what? I mean, I remember asking him once about that. I was going like, how the hell do you do that? And he's like, I just go real deep, brother. And next thing you know, I'm the Macho Man, baby.
It would be interesting. Black Machismo versus Santa on steroids. I'm sorry. Savage does look like Santa on steroids these days.
Yeah, we'll move on as much as I don't want to, because I'm enjoying talking about this. We already have one match announced already for the Sacrifice pay-per-view, which is the Sunday after Mother's Day. Thank the Lord. I got a lot of crap on for that one for family a couple years ago. You're going to a pay-per-view instead of Mother's Day? Well, Mom enjoyed. Mom had fun. You now have Sting, who apparently has creative control, thanks Network. Sounds an awful lot like the bald spot back in the day in other promotions, but I digress. So he apparently makes his chosen Mr. 420 himself, the self-professed Mr. TNA, Rob Van Dam. Now, of course, we've got a couple weeks before we get to Sacrifice, but initial impressions, is this a meh match for you, or is this a, yeah, I'd like to see that again, because didn't we, we had that for like, 5 seconds when Sting's initial return and RVD took him out?
As much as I'd like to see it, I'm still very meh on the TNA product at the moment. Like, I can't even really remember Impact this week. I don't know why I forgot Impact this week, probably because I have watched so much, you know, WWE, plus I've been catching up on, like, several different TV shows, so it's probably pushed all the information out of my brain. I have limited capacity. I'm like a goldfish. Who are you? What are we doing again?
Yeah, well, you like the fish and you like the little fish and the Cat in the Hat. You just randomly start talking off for no reason whatsoever. For recap purposes only, I don't want to hurt anybody's brain. I know some of the folks in our chat room are going, "Dear Lord, God, stop talking like talk about that stuff." We'll talk real fast. We had some lockdown-style matches on Impact, so it's like, cool, you watch this pay-per-view for nothing, dumbass. The TNA World Tag Team Champions Beer Money defeated Rob, Terry, and Murphy. Your Knockout Tag Team Champions defeated Madison Rayne and Tara. Looks like that's possibly the ending. Thank God! Just take that tiara and shove it where... Oh, sorry, right, PG-rated show. God, can't go there. We had Abyss, minus two front teeth, defeat Rob Van Dam. Looks like we're gonna get kids in the next few weeks. Matt Morgan versus Scott Steiner. Your TNA World Champion Sting defeated Matt Hardy with Immortal and Fortune getting involved, Mr. Anderson getting involved. And this is one of those things that irked the crap out of me, especially knowing what happened to Jay Lethal. We're letting the guy that can wrestle go, but Miss Tessmacher is returning to TNA Wrestling. Let me make a yippee in the background.
Yay.
Yeah, exactly.
I forgot who she was. I saw her pop up on the television. I'm like, who's that? Okay, you're not mentioning your name. Who the hell are you? You come back. Good for you. Who the hell are you? You're off my TV.
Recaps. Recaps are fun for us to figure out, aren't they? Like, who is that?
I know there's been this whole stigma, especially with Vince, you know, saying that wrestling fans have very limited memory, and I know with my joke before about having the memory of a goldfish, but we do remember characters. And it goes to show how well your character works if we can remember you when you actually come back.
Yeah, I don't think many people are sitting there going, "Yippee, Tessmacher's back!" I mean, there may be that little perverted group that's sitting there going, "Look at the boobs, look at the boobs, look at the boobs." But then again, you already have that.
Oh, please, TNA has the best collection of push-up bras in the business.
Absolutely, and you know, Wonder Bra might be a great sponsor for this company at some point soon. Who knows? Horse Manure was also on the docket, and that would be thanks to Kurt Angle, Eric Young, some beans, and the Jarretts once again. So fans, if you were going, yes, lockdown ended this feud, wrong. We're possibly going to have some sort of ending, hopefully by sacrifice, if not Slammiversary in June, where we will find out. Yeah, I'm the master of the segue. Thank you. We will find out if Sir Rockin's fortune telling is true. Sir Rockin is still of the belief that the main event for the Slammiversary pay-per-view will be Sting defending the TNA World Heavyweight Championship. Had NWA on my mind because it's what it used to be, brother. Now it's TNA. Looking like UFC belt, but hey, Sting taking on the back brace himself and Hulk Hogan. We're really
and
hoping.
If there's anything you should ever do, is listen to us and our predictions. We might not get the lotto numbers, but boy, do we get wrestling.
Yeah, we'll talk about that in a moment or two here. This came up through several different sources, so we'll just run with it as a rumor. Everybody do your mini me quotes in your mind here. Desmond Wolfe apparently has been found. And apparently he has retired due to numerous injuries that he has accumulated over his career. For fans who may not remember, when he debuted, Nigel McGuinness debuted, he was originally slated to be signing a developmental deal with WWE. However, apparently due to some knee issues, the WWE physical that he took was a red flag and WWE passed, hence TNA's gain. So that is one of the many stories that is going around. There's apparently a health rumor that I'm not going to address here, because if it's true, that's Desmond Wolfe's, Nigel McGuinness's situation. But if it is true and Desmond Wolfe has to give up the business due to, knee injuries, I feel bad for the guy, because he never really got a fair shake in the organization. And according to Sir Rockin, he's writing a sitcom currently. Yeah, I believe I also saw something that he was, that Desmond Wolfe, Nigel McGuinness have been taking some acting classes down here in the Orlando area and have been doing some theater work. So I feel bad for it. There's stuff like Honky Tonk Man's out there stirring the pot, going around saying, well, it's this, it's that, it's the other thing. Now that I'm using it as a rumor. If it comes out to be true, I really feel bad for Nigel McGuinness Mace that his career's got to end that way with knee injuries at such a young age.
Well, it's always sad when people have to end their wrestling careers due to injury well before their time. But does this mean that we are taking down the wanted posters for Desmond Wolfe, or are we keeping them up until it actually appears back on television?
Yeah, until I get a confirmation or some kind, we're gonna report him still as missing in action. So I really hope it's not true, but not much I can do about it. The folks in our chat room are already bringing up something that I forgot to bring up, so thank you for that, Tonio and Jersey Girl. This mentioning of a mistress that Kurt Angle is going, well, I have someone that's coming for you, and let's just call her my mistress. Randy, who called in earlier, was saying he wouldn't be surprised if it's Raka Khan. I mean, the way the storyline has been going, I wouldn't be surprised. Jersey Girl saying she hopes it's Serena Deeb. Wouldn't mind that one either. Have her kick Karen Angle.
Come on, guys. We all know who it is. It's Rosie Lotta-Love.
Oh, don't bring her back, please.
Why? She could come in and cause another lawsuit for TNA.
Absolutely. I'm not going to address that one. We'll move on. Oh, Tonio's saying it might be Isis the Amazon. She's not doing anything living in the Tampa area, so hey, why not bring her in? There's also a claim of Ric Flair being injured, that it was injured during lockdown. Jim Ross, I think, came out and said that it was an injury, and maybe someone from TNA may have sent a thing around saying that the injury had happened overseas before Ric Flair had a temper tantrum, and he had been putting off the surgery, so this torn rotator cuff is legit. They're just using it that the injury of lockdown was the way to have him exit TV, and oh, I feel bad, but no, what are you gonna do? It's one of those situations. You're an older gentleman. You don't heal as easy as someone Mace's age or my age or Jay Lethal or anybody else's age. So hopefully, we wish Ric Flair nothing but the best. I said I make fun of Hulk Hogan on its show all the time, but it's hard to make fun of certain legends. We're going to move on. We're not even going to take a break. We're just going to keep going. We're going to transition as best one can to WWE, which definitely was busy last night and today. Last night was the WWE draft, which is normally a 3-hour experience. However, we ended up with 2 hours and change. So instead of going into the matches, the only match worth mentioning storyline-wise appears to be the main event ending of CM Punk, Alberto Del Rio, and The Miz defeating Christian, Mark Henry, and John Cena. When Mark Henry turned on Cena, turned on Christian, and the funny part of that all is apparently there's a, I'm not sure if it's on WWE.com, someone sent a link to me earlier of Mark Henry doing a testimonial about his weight issues. This is a guy I think Now, unfortunately, Mace, we talk about the injury bug with a lot of people. He's definitely had it since he came into WWE back in the day. He's had shoulder problems, knee problems. He's had Subway sandwich problems. So, the idea of Mark Henry going back to the monster heel, is this the best way to utilize this guy while he's still under contract?
Well, considering the way the draft's gone, yeah, they're going to a big monster heel. They need somebody into that main event spot. And the world's strongest Smurf, he's well and truly there.
Yeah, as Tonio said, 2 hours and change and then a 5.5 hour supplemental draft. Yeah, that
but
thing.
We didn't even get 2 hours and change. The amount of time actually spent on the actual draft itself was probably less than half an hour. Remember remarking during the show, I think it was about 45 minutes in, and it was like, okay, we're heading towards the top of the first hour, and we've only had 2 draft picks. What's going on? But then again, we did have like 20 minutes of horribleness with Michael Cole and Jim Ross.
Yeah, which leads me to this note. Jim Ross on his Twitter said that he injured his hand during that segment last night on Raw. For those that did not watch it, Ross busted Michael Cole open the hard way with a punch to his mouth, and Cole bled enough that you could see it, and WWE unfortunately was not able to do anything about it other than maybe hand him a towel at some point. The company has been very careful to switch camera shots, clean up the blood, as we saw when the initial PG thing happened. I remember Jack Swagger getting busted open and everybody going, whoa, stop, there's blood. Jim Ross wrote that he was having an x-ray done on his hand, and although he won't be able to hold the leather strap today, he'll do whatever it takes on Sunday. Quote, Cole's tooth went to the bone on my fist, not an artistic masterpiece. That's a vision I didn't want. Thank you, good old JR.
Look, teeth can do horrible, horrible things to the skin. I've actually, in my second match ever, my opponent clotheslined me in my mouth, knocked my teeth, causing me to bleed. It's due to weak gums, not because I broke a tooth or anything. But he came back after the match, and he's held out his forearm. And right in the middle is 2 teeth marks from where his forearm has impacted on my teeth. So, yeah, stuff like that does happen quite often in wrestling. It's pity, though. I was expecting JR to say something like, yeah, it went to the, you know, his teeth went through to the bone on my fist. Well, that's what I get for trying to knock him down his throat.
I'm sure there were a lot of fans. I know I was able to watch the show with you, Omega, and Ciroc, and all of you were just sitting there. Like, it was like a mental stopwatch going, okay, this is already 30 seconds longer than I wanted it. Okay, what are they doing? Oh, God, what are they doing? Oh, God, this is worse than Charmel and Jenna Maresca. And if you don't know the reference, look it up on TNA's information sites. I understand, Mace, that they're trying to put this match over big time, because as of right now, there's only 5 matches announced for this event, and now it is an old-school country whipping match. But, as you said, why focus on this thing so much when, oh yeah, this show's about the frickin' draft, dude. Hello, Vince.
Well, I believe I made the comment during the show that this is what they should have done at WrestleMania. We should have had Lawler versus Cole with a strap between them. Why has it taken us so long to get to this point?
Yeah, it is an annoying thing, but welcome to WWE Creative. Before we go into who was drafted where and whatnot, I just want to knock off a couple news and notes here. This came out from TMZ.com about our old friend Dave Bautista, the former WWE superstar. He told TMZ.com that his goal to be in an MMA cage to provide professionally is out of the window as negotiations have fallen through after UFC bought the main competitor to them, which is Strikeforce. Bautista said that he was really disappointed and had his heart set on the promotion, but following the UFC buyout, they never said anything to him, and the deal they had on the table never ended up being signed. He attended a Strikeforce event, I think it was last June. He's done at least one movie. I believe he did a movie with Rob Van Dam, but the name of it slips me. If you're WWE creative and you're sitting there, is this one of those where you do, I told you so? Or do you say, nah, Dave, come on back. We can move you in. We'll just put you right back in somewhere near your spot. Is he worth investing in again?
Probably not. After all, you've got Batista Light there already.
Oh, yeah.
And unless you're going to feud those two either against each other or put them in the tag team, meh. Dave can go off and try doing his movies and his MMA elsewhere.
Wrong Side of Town, that's the name of the film. There we go.
Hey, he actually had a very badass role in that.
Oh, so it may be worth checking out on the Netflix reel, okay. The Night of Champions pay-per-view, if you are going to be attending it in Buffalo this year, it still will be taking place on September 18th. However, the Night of Champions name has been removed from the event. Some history on this. I can't call them that anymore. WWE started using the name in 2007 when it was attached to the Vengeance name. And then in 2008, Vengeance was dropped completely with Night of Champions, where the whole pay-per-view was championship matches. So, as I said, it's still going to be held in Buffalo, New York at the HB... I'm messing up initials here. HSBC Center on September 18th. So, unnamed pay-per-view. That wouldn't be bad. Welcome to the unnamed pay-per-view. What's it about? I don't know.
To be announced.
Yeah, the whole
thing. To be announced. Event to be announced.
Yeah,
it's called the to be announced championship.
Exactly. If you were watching Monday Night Raw, you did see CM Punk competing. This came to us from our friends at Pro Wrestling Insider. We'll go to the OWW Genesis forum, which is our official forum, so that we don't have to go through Pop-Up Mania by going to their site. This is what they're reporting. We have not gotten back confirmation on it yet. That apparently CM Punk has been offered a new long-term deal with WWE, but at this time is not signed and could be leaving the company when his contract expires in the next few months. There has been talk about the possibility for some time, but during the European tour, discussing Punk's exit heated up. He is citing, quote, burnout with being on the road for years and unhappiness with his position in the company over the last year, end quote. PWI Insider is using a WWE office source to say the following. Like I said, anything I'm saying here, take it with a grain of salt. I'm not, you know, the tarot card reader type thing here. So here's what the source is telling PWI Insider. When you look at how the company brands its characters, Punk is never among the top five or eight that are promoted or pushed. It's usually Cena, Orton, Miz, Undertaker, Rey Mysterio, and now Alberto Del Rio. These days, Punk is sort of floating around. He didn't fit into the youth drive a few months back, but he's not treated like a top veteran either. He's just there doing his job, and while everybody knows he delivers, he's never really treated like someone who does. He's never dropped the ball, but we don't give it to him really either. He's treated like a guy, but not the guy. For a driven guy like him who's made wrestling his entire world, it's got to drive him nuts. Now the excuse will be don't push Punk because he might be leaving, but the reality is the environment and situation is what probably making him want to leave to begin with. Either it gets fixed or it becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy, just like when Batista walked. Thoughts on CM Punk, Mace? He's not one of my top favorites, and that's for reasons outside of wrestling that I won't get into, but from a character standpoint, is this WWE source in this story right that he should never even have been involved in the Nexus thing? The Straight Edge Society thing was going fine as it was. Do you think in his entire tenure he's been handled the right way? If you had the pen, would he be the way he is right now?
Oh, look, mishandling for sure. As for what I would do, you know, there's situations that they've tried to recreate the Ring of Honor stuff, but the thing is, they're a PG company. Therefore, they can't really let that part of him loose. You know, CM Punk doing straight edge means I'm better than you in Ring of Honor and places like that. A million times better, because they had him with guys who had a very deep history of drug and alcohol abuse. And at the same time, they were allowed to do things that WWE would never do. You know, I remember a situation where it was Punk versus Raven. Raven ends up getting the advantage, hangs Punk up in the ropes, like the old Andre the Giant spot, fall backwards, tie yourself up in the ropes. Raven ducks out of the ring, pulls out a bottle of Jack Daniels, comes back in the ring, and tries to force it down Punk's throat.
Oh, yeah.
That you won't see in a WWE ring. Sure, we had the thing where Punk, you know, tore up the cigarettes and put the booze in the trash can, then dumped it over Jeff Hardy. That's about as extreme as they go with that angle. But they just really couldn't do it. You know, they couldn't let Punk go out there and do what he used to do. You know, some of his more famous promos back when he did this the first time round. This is a list of drugs that CM Punk has never taken.
Yeah, I remember that.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, that was a career we talked about with Steve Corino a couple of times, that he had Bobby Cruz read off drug habited wrestlers, and then Steven DeAngelis read off all the pharmaceuticals that Punk didn't do. Is this a combination of creative, just, you know, we can only go so far with the straight edge thing? I mean, they did it with Serena where they were like, oh, she's out doing this and that's the thing. Do you think Punk could go along with an idea of Punk falls off the wagon, or is that in the PG era of WWE, as we found out, smoking bad? Can that happen in this current PG genre?
No, no way, no how.
No more boots.
They would not be able to do that type of thing. Hell, what you saw in the UK with R-Truth, that'll be a one-time thing. You'll never see that happen again.
It's illegal. Clap, 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 clap. I'm still loving that. That's just too funny. Okay,
if Punk's sitting there and he's burnt out, and to be honest, I don't blame him. When creative comes up to you and goes, we got nothing for you, just go out there and wrestle, you're going to go, okay, so I'm starting to waste my time in this company. You know, I need to be somewhere where I can be creative, where I can be my character. If you guys aren't willing to give it to me, fine, I'm out of here.
Yeah, and he's had a shelf life. He's been in the OVW situation and under a contract since at least 05, maybe 06. So, you know, if he is... Yeah, and Sir Rockin brought up he was part of the ECW version 2, 3, whatever the heck it was. As I said, like the joke used to be around with Kurt Angle, how many outfits can the dude have with red, white, and blue in the thing? He was injured. I believe it was a hip injury that had taken him out for a while and had him doing the commentary until a Diet Coke was spilled, and that was enough to make him mad, brother. But if this is it, in terms of this, if this story is legit, and I'm not saying it is, it's sources and this and that. So take it as always. I know I'm repeating the grain of salt thing, but dude, take it for a grain of salt. Let's speculate for a second here. If his contract is up, which we don't even know the specific date of it, is he the type that would pursue acting? Do you think he goes to TNA with the relaxed schedule like a lot of the guys did back in the day with going from WWE to WCW? You know, if you're Punk, do you take time to recharge your batteries, so to speak, before you make a next move here? Or do you just suck it up and go, hey, I'm getting paid to do what I love to do. Let's keep going. But can you guys scale me back to like an Undertaker-like schedule or Triple H-like schedule? Is that too much to ask?
Well, it would be too much to ask straight up because they wouldn't give it to somebody like CM Punk. I don't think TNA would be the best suit for him these days. Unfortunately,
not the right place for anybody.
Yeah, true. We'll just take a look at the mishandling of Samoa and Christopher Daniels, AJ Styles, you know, those type of things. What I'd love for them to do is just to put him up with a good old-fashioned wrestling feud with Danielson. You want to draw the fans' interest. You want something that's going to elevate people. Punk versus Danielson will do just that.
Yeah, but you also use the W word, which is our intro says we can use it here. I know Uncle Vince and the writers are going, what's that? He said wrestling again. Damn. Yeah, I mean, that's
Vince.
Yeah, well, we're like I said, we're for fans that are recently tuning into us. I'm a big wrestling fan. If I wasn't, I wouldn't be sitting here. I wouldn't have covered TNA wrestling since 2002, and I wouldn't be going to indie shows that are in billiard halls on a Friday night. I mean, I agree with Mace that I would. Like I said, my WrestleMania dream match for this past WrestleMania was U.S. Champion Daniel Bryan versus Senshi, Loki, whatever the hell you want to call him. Versus CM Punk, and that would have been, in my mind, you know, a money-making thing. But you know, you're moving into this new thing, and you know, I wish the guy well. Like I said, I don't personally know Phil Brooks, which is CM Punk's real name. Yes, I broke kayfabe, deal with it. I know of his romantic endeavors, which is why I don't like him. But he's looks like he's staying on Monday Night Raw and will be a part of a Last Man Standing match. I almost call it Falls Count Anywhere. That's the Cody Rhodes match, which we'll talk about in a minute here. But he will take on Randy Orton here in the Tampa Bay area. While we got some remaining time here, you guys on WrestleTalk Radio, I want you to predict the 2012 election, presidential election. You're doing lotto numbers. You're doing the Academy Awards from here on out. I'm going to read off. This is who Team SmackDown this Sunday, which was Spug and Tim Stein, pit. They had in their 10 going to SmackDown. They had The Miz, Randy Orton, Sheamus, Sin Cara, CM Punk, Tyson Kidd, Daniel Bryan, the tag team of Santino Marella and Vladimir Kozlov, Karma, who has not even appeared yet on TV, the aforementioned Awesome Kong, and John Cena. Mace and Omega had the following 10 as their choices to go over. And that would be Christian, the tag team champions Big Show and Kane, Intercontinental champion Wade Barrett, Cody Rhodes, Beth Phoenix, Alberto Del Rio, Kofi Kingston, Justin Gabriel, Rey Mysterio, and their last pick was actually Theodore R. Long, the general manager. So well done to both groups there for getting that right. Let me read off for fans that didn't get to it. And it's a big list because, as I said, I went out for the afternoon and came back and was like, oh crap, the draft thing's on. I figured 2:30, it's over. Log on at 3:00. I'm going, okay, this thing's still going at 4:30 in the afternoon. On Raw last night, Raw received, well, let me do this right. SmackDown received Mark Henry, Sin Cara, John Cena to open the show, and Randy Orton. Raw got Alberto Del Rio, The Big Show, Rey Mysterio, and John Cena. Save me from this insanity maze. What the crap?
Hey, all I can say is, besides Mark Henry, we called it. There are people out there that called our mock draft a mockery of logic. Well, to all of you. And mind you, on Raw, I called John Cena. Ha!
Yes, he did. I was a witness to it, sitting in than sitting here in the palatial palace watching on the mega screen. I was going, well, first watching online because the wife had the TV, and I was like, no, I want the big screen. All right, fine, you get it. Thank you, Misty, my wife. He did call it. Yes, Jersey Girl said
What can I say? I'm used to fast moving images. Those test your luck games where you have the little ball in the cup and they move it around. I love those type of challenges. So I've learned to train my eyes for quick moving images. And I happen to notice about two or three times John Cena pops up in the spinning reel for SmackDown. I'm like, okay, he might be going back.
Who frickin' knew, man? Okay. Now here's where the real fun comes in. If you are part of the WWE.com chat room. Yeah, if you're part of the WWE.com chat room today, and there were a lot of people in there, Lou Howard Finkel and someone from WWE Magazine were running things. This is who you will see appearing possibly as early as this Friday on SmackDown. Graham Cawthon of History of WWE was attending tonight. I gave him Mace's Twitter. I don't know if he sent you anything on the show. But here's who is now a member of the SmackDown roster, and it's a lot of people moved over. Daniel Bryan, The Great Khali, The Usos, Alicia Fox, William Regal, Yoshitatsu, Natalya, and as Jersey Girl mentioned, Tim Steyn should have picked her in her her massive
her tag team of the year.
Yeah,
thank you.
Tag team of the year.
Absolutely. Sir Rock and the God of Internet Radio joining us as well here. Tony O says that you should be the Mel Kiper Jr. of mock WWE drafts, and Mace doesn't know Mel Kiper Jr.
Doesn't know that reference, so.
I have no idea.
He does the National Football League, the American Football. He predicts who's going to be picked in the National Football League college draft. So that's a good compliment for you. Also involved, Ted DiBiase Jr., Tyson Kidd, Tamina, A-Rai himself, Alex Riley, and, yeah, your U.S. Heavyweight Champion, Sheamus. So right now on SmackDown, you have the Intercontinental Champion, Wade Barrett, and you have the United States Champion Sheamus showing up. Before we get Mace's thoughts, and maybe Sorokin will chime in too, this is who moved over to the Monday Night Raw brand. Jack Swagger is over. Kelly Kelly is over. JTG, yes, he's still on the payroll. Kofi Kingston, Drew McIntyre, Kurt Hawkins, Chris Masters, Tyler Rex, and, as they called it on Sunday, the Glamazon Beth Phoenix, which now brings her to a show where her ex-bo Santino is hanging out with, well, he's not hanging out with Tamina anymore because she went SmackDown with the Usos. So overall, it was 30 picks made between Monday Night Raw and Friday and WWE.com. It is an interesting thing to sit there because you do get, there's a lot of people in their chat room, and they had, I think Zack Ryder was in there for a little while and other folks last year when I listened to it for this same show or watched it. They had JTG come in. They had Natalya come in. So at least the fans get to interact here. So, to look at it, we'll look at the Raw brand first because they didn't get as many picks. If Sir Rock, I don't know if Sir Rock wants to chime in or not, but he is a fan as well. To Mace, just looking at the picks that Raw got here, in my view, it seems like what's with all the guys from Superstars, man? And no offense to the talents, because they're getting paid, so they're way better than I am.
Yeah, it just, I don't know, like, we were expecting a certain sexual act to be performed on Raw in their roster, but not so much. It sort of seems that, you know, SmackDown has bolstered pretty much every portion of their card. You know, you got some undercard guys coming over, you've got some tag team wrestlers coming over. You've got a couple of main eventers or guys that can hang around the main event. you have to excuse me for a minute. I'm still choking down lunch. I was actually quite surprised by Alex Riley going over the SmackDown, but I've been saying for a while they need to give Alex Riley his own chance to shine, and this will do it. Sin Cara, yeah, obvious, because they need to edit the hell out of his matches from now on. But yeah, Raw pretty much did like Omega and I predicted. They've bolstered their mid-card. They've bolstered their lower card, which is where Raw has been lacking. So there's no real clear, you know, this side won. It just seems to be a nice balancing out of the rosters.
Yeah, Jersey Girl in her chat room brought up the only reason they sent John Cena back to Monday Night Raw was so he could be in Miami this Monday for The Rock's birthday thing. I'm not sure on that one.
That's not true, because they said on Raw that all the stars from Raw and SmackDown will be at The Rock's birthday party.
There you go. Even Sir Rockin' may be there as well. He may be a guest visitor on there.
Mick Foley won't.
We hope Mick Foley shows up. Mick, show up. It'd be so much fun.
Pretty please.
Just jump the railing. Or be sitting in the front row of the crowd. Something.
Sit in the front row with the sign. That's all you need to know.
Yeah. Tony O in our room says he doesn't know about Bolster. The only credible heels they have on SmackDown right now are Cody Rhodes, Wade Barrett, and Ezekiel Jackson. As mentioned, you now have Yoshitatsu babyface, Daniel Bryan babyface, Great Khali babyface, but Tony, you also got Sheamus over there. Alex Riley has proven he can hold his own in the ring. William Regal is one of your better heels. Tyson Kidd, if they use him right. And someone in the WWE.com chat room pointed out Legacy is back on the same roster. Now, you may not see it with Cody Rhodes, DiBiase, and Randy Orton there, but pretty well done, Mason Sorokin, to get people interested to watch Friday night, especially with Randy Orton moving over. He's definitely the alpha or the big name. I almost, when Cena's name came up, I was texting with people last night going, well, they'll definitely get people to tune into Sci-Fi now because they're on 8 o'clock. The young kids can go, hey, I can watch Cena and go to bed, as opposed to 9 o'clock. I can't even watch the beginning of frickin' Raw right now.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah. Go ahead, Mace.
Go ahead. Okay, Mace, go. Pick some.
Come on, go!
Well, Cena over on SmackDown would be drawing ratings, that's for sure. But don't discount what Randy Orton can do. The dude is a ratings draw on his own, and I reckon he'll bring some viewers over to SmackDown.
That's right. There's talk on the interwebs that there was actual thoughts about putting John Cena on the SmackDown brand, thinking Randy Orton could carry Raw on his own. But apparently, it seems like they decided the other way around.
It is an interesting situation, because unfortunately now, your tag champs are on different shows, so yeah, a little awkward there, because I have
no, they're still instituting the old rule of the tag champs can jump back and forth between shows. Once Big Show and Kane lose the belts, that's when Big Show becomes Raw exclusive.
Right, and Big Show did an interview on WWE.com saying, well, he'll be on both shows.
So they're going back to the rules all the way to when the WWE Unified Champion appeared on both, and whoever brand he lost the belt to, that's where he got exiled to?
Pretty much.
Oh, okay, fine, I'll buy that one. The move of Natty Neidhart to SmackDown, interesting, sucks because you're kind of breaking up Lay Cool, would have been an automatic feuder there with. But you move Beth Phoenix to Raw, which also a lot of fans were probably sitting there going, damn, I wanted Natty and Beth Phoenix as a feud. Is Beth brought over specifically because Karma will most likely be Raw bound? And that's the instant matchup a lot of fans want to see, is Awesome Kong, Beth Phoenix.
I'd probably still put Kong, Karma, Kamalamalaya, whatever you want to call her.
Come a chameleon.
Sorry. Rock's already going, clip! But I'd still put Kong on SmackDown. I'd still put her over there because, let's be honest, what are you going to do? You'd rather have somebody that's going to debut and make a big impact on a brand where they're actually respecting women's wrestling rather than on Raw where every women's match gets interrupted by Michael freaking Cole.
But don't you want to see her, Cole, run for his life from her?
Oh,
eventually,
I'd love to see that happen. Like, it'd be awesome to see Kong just lift up the coal mine, throw it away, and just squeeze Cole until his head pops. But that's not what she's been brought in there to do. She's there to snap the little Barbie dolls in half. And where are most of the Barbie dolls? On SmackDown.
Yeah, and as we saw, it looks like, as I said, unfortunately, Lay Cool gone. And I commented to Larry Dallas, who was on a few weeks ago. We were talking through Facebook last night. Yes, social networking, amazing thing. That it was kind of funny to see the beautiful people explode, so to speak, on TNA, and a few weeks later, WWE goes, oh, maybe it's time for us to do that too. I mean, or is this a tough love situation that, you know, you saw this killer in Layla that you've never seen? Are either one of you liking that, or are you sitting there going, damn it, just let them be Lay Cool and let them do the thing they're doing?
Well, every team breaks up eventually, so they're going the realm of it, and just sort of watching what they did on Monday with Layla going batshit insane.
She did.
Look, I was cheering for her, you know, go bash her head into that overly heavily padded security railing that does nothing. But then she started throwing her against the ring and over the announce table. Okay.
Yeah, but I'm sure Jerry Lawler was not expecting that one to end up in his lap. He was probably going, come on down, Layla!
No, Lawler would have jumped out of his seat going, Mark, I have not touched her at all!
I'd be like, watch the footage backwards there, Mick Taker. I never touched her. Oh, that's, I guess I'll read that one off. Jersey Girl says they should put Mark Henry and Kong together. They can go to KFC together. Ow.
At least not that's nice. That's at least not as bad as the other things we've come up with. But we should move on.
Yeah, but Kia's a real great person. I'm happy to see that she's getting the push that she is. And I'd have to agree, we've talked about it before when Spug was here a couple weeks ago, the way that WWE recently has been doing, they did promo packages to bring in Sin Cara, and now they did the one to bring in Karma, as she's being called. I kind of like it, and hopefully it does not disappoint the fans. If their fans are listening to this live or on the podcast that are going, I never saw her in TNA, dear God, Google, YouTube, whatever, because when she does debut, either Raw or SmackDown, She's gonna wow the crap out of people. Apparently Gail Kim and her have been doing a thing on Twitter trying to reignite something, and that was some fun for me to see those kind of matches in TNA. I could totally see her having interest in stuff going on there. Before
that's
wrap
the thing. Like with the whole Kong debut, you're gonna have to have her come in and take down somebody that's either gone up against her before or really can take some decent bumps, because Kong's going to have to come in and she's going to have to be rough. You couldn't see her doing it against Eve. You couldn't see her doing it against Lay Cool. You can't see her doing it against the Bella Twins, because those things she'd probably crater through the canvas. Somebody like a Gail Kim, a Beth Phoenix, or a Natty Neidhart, they'd be perfect to be demolished by Kong, because they would know what they're getting into.
So she's definitely coming in strong style. There's a bump. Holy crap, that woman just ended up in the 10th row.
Pretty much. And there'll be two very wet spots in the ring where the silicone bags are exploded.
Wow.
And the fans will be chanting, Kong's gonna kill you, because let's face it, those marks will definitely get that chant going.
Yeah.
Before we wrap WWE talk up and wrap the actual show up, as mentioned, this Sunday is Extreme Rules from the St. Pete Times Forum, which is a great wrestling venue, hockey as well. This is the card as it is as we speak. Sir Rockin is going to take a look at the spoilers if he can. You can message him to me, please. Your double main event, I'm going to call it that because I haven't seen the production sheet or really would love a copy of it. Your steel cage match for the WWE Championship is The Miz versus John Cena versus John Morrison in triple threat rules, which I'm still trying. It's one of those cornet face type situations when my friends and I were talking about this the other day and we talked about it a few days ago as well. Is this a car wreck waiting to happen, Mace, or can this work if done right in your eyes?
It's going to be a car wreck, that's for sure. Mind you, I'm now going, I have no idea who's going to win the triple threat cage match, only because there was no real indicator. You know, with the whole draft thing, up until the very last pick on Raw, it was pretty obvious that you were going to have Cena win the triple threat and Alberto Del Rio was going to win the ladder match, so that way they can take the titles over to their new brands. But now that Cena's back on Raw, we've pretty much found out who's going to win the SmackDown one.
Yeah! Go Christian!
But the Raw is now still... You know, it could either be The Miz or it's going to be John Cena. Because we know it's not going to be Morrison, unless he cold shoulders everybody.
Ooh. And if you're interested, Mason Sorokin can have some interesting characters, comic-wise and action figure-wise, on John Morrison. We'll just leave it at that.
Those were funny.
Yeah, thank God my daughter wasn't up, because she would have been going like, what are those action figures doing? Don't worry about it. As mentioned,
they're playing Let's Make a Human Swing.
Exactly.
Pretty much. There, as mentioned by both gentlemen, there is a world championship ladder match. Alberto Del Rio taking on Captain Charisma, Captain Cupcake, as he used to be called in TNA by my friends that were at the tapings. Christian, I still smell Edge interfering in this match some form or fashion. He was on Friday Night SmackDown. Magically, the dude got to England. I don't know how. And, oh, yeah, you're retired, dude. They revoke your plane invoices when you retire, when you put in the paperwork.
No. If you checked his T-shirt, it was the Edge Farewell Tour.
Yeah, and he RSVP'd on Facebook.
He had to be there. Okay. Okay, fine, I'll allow it. He lives here in Tampa. What a better way to end it by helping your buddy achieve his dream of being not only a former NWA world champion, but now a world champion on the WWE stage. We will see, as much as we don't want to, or at least me personally, a country whipping match between Jack Swagger and Michael Cole and the Hall of Famers Jerry Lawler and Jim Ross. We're hoping for a Sting versus Jeff Hardy time on this one. 100% sure, because they haven't really announced many other matches. We do have Last Man Standing, Randy Orton versus CM Punk. That'll harken back to last year of Cena Batista, possibly. Who knows what could go there. Along those lines, we do have Falls Count Anywhere, Rey Mysterio versus the Phantom that is Cody Rhodes. Really wish we would fix that damn mask, because I saw it again last night on Raw, and I'm just going, dude, color that thing. I mean, for heaven's sake. This came in from our spoiler group.
Before we go to the spoiler room, can I just say one thing about these quote-unquote false count anywhere matches? When was the last time they actually took advantage of that? because they've made it, Falls Count Anywhere is within the confines of the security railing. You know, most of them, they'll end up taking a pinfall in the ring, or they'll take it outside the ring, or they'll take it on the stage. What happened to the days of where the guys would end up going up the ramp, and then you'd get the cameramen chasing them down the backstage area, and they go outside, or they go through the crowd? You know, give us a real false count anywhere. Make the word anywhere mean something again, guys. Please. I want to see Rey Mysterio jumping off balconies. You know, or jumping off the popcorn vendor. I don't care. Just something different.
Jumping off a random child in the audience. Come here, kid.
Damn right. Stepladder.
Cody's picking up a kid with the mask.
Timber!
This was announced on Friday night for Friday Night SmackDown. I believe they were taping in Greensboro, North Carolina. Woo! Ric Flair, country brother. And don't forget, Rick not around. Thanks, Jersey Girl, for being here with us, and sorry about Chris Jericho getting booted off Dancing with the Stars. We may try for him here on Wild Talk Radio Network. Who knows? This is actually going to be a match at this pay-per-view.
Well, they have a match this Friday, and now leads to a match on Sunday. Now you can tell.
Okay. And that would be Layla versus Michelle McTaker. I mean, McCool.
Yes. No DQ, no countouts, and loser leaves SmackDown.
I see one of them using Vicky Guerrero as a weapon. At least that would be awesome.
And by the way, I'm going to call it now. For some reason, I see Layla winning, and McCool goes over the Raw like I told Omega we should have done on the mock draft.
Yeah, and we can have her as a sacrificial lamb to Karma, too. I think that would be awesome. Then have Kong walk up to take her going, what you got, bitch? You want to go?
I see that happening, too, and Taker would be just, yeah.
I got nothing, brother. I'm gone. I'm going Kong, to get another tattoo.
Dude, Kong versus Taker at WrestleMania. Yes!
That's the feud. That's the
awesome.
Feud anchor right there. That's the
feud. Go out
ender
on a high
right
note, beat up a woman.
Whoa, hey now. So that is what has been announced so far. I'm sure something will pop up between now and then. As we said, the WWE draft is originally scheduled for June, which would have been a way better choice than doing it, oh yeah, the week before your go or your pay-per-view. Way to have a go-home event. And at this point, we will go home. Believe it or not, as I said a couple weeks ago, Brad Dykens, the big kahuna, mentioned that next week will be episode 100 of Online World of Wrestling Radio. Now, I don't know if that gets me a syndication deal, like TV shows when they get to episode 100, they get syndicated off to your UPN, CW, OB, Ion, whatever the heck.
I believe what happens with your 100th, because technically it's your 50th in charge of this program, either Spug or I are going to hang up midway through an interview, and you're going to be gone as of next week, and one of us will take over the show.
All right, cool.
History repeats itself, ladies and gentlemen.
Woohoo!
Excellent. Yeah, we could. I know it's out there somewhere in the annals of time and space, and there are guests that are in the works for next week, possibly talking with the Legends of the Ring booker. His name is James Subius. He may stop by to preview that event that's going to be happening in New Jersey on May 7th. Possibly working on some folks from that as well. Good Lord, I wish there's one I want. I can't tease who it is that I am working on for next week, but it'll definitely piss off lots of people, morons in general, maybe pissed off. But hey, I've been pissing people off since February, March of last year when I joined the show, and I really pissed people off last May when I took it over. So,
aww, you pissed people off, Alan. Aww.
Scared. Yeah, I know. I'll find a towel to cry me a river in.
Tear shed.
Yeah, as my grandmother used to say, suck it up, Dorothy.
Alan Wojcik, he might not have emotions, but he sure causes a few.
Yeah, there you go. There's my... When we come in and out of commercial breaks, we are part of the Wild Talk Radio Network here on Online World of Wrestling Radio. Tomorrow night there is a program called Otaku Talk Live, which I swear I'm going to listen to the Kevin Scott. Chad Jamal, who is still feeling the effects of an allergy attack that put him in the hospital last Tuesday. We're hoping he's back next week to celebrate with us. Mace Omega and Spug host that. And is the goal to have him pass the kidney stone tomorrow night, Mace? Is that what you guys are hoping happens?
Well, that's what we're betting on. We're wondering if he's going to pass it either before the show, after the show, or during the show. Only way to find out is to listen to us live. But also, we will be talking the Wii 2 rumors. You know, will it do everything, include make your own bagel toast? We will definitely cover all that, as well as the conspiracies, weird theories, and reasons as to why the PlayStation Network is currently down and pissing me off.
Yeah, that we'll let off.
Spider-Man musical, nobody's died yet, but we're working on it.
There's always tomorrow.
Well, Otaku Talk Live, 9 p.m. tomorrow night, right here on wildtalkradio.com.
Yeah. And for fans of UFC, if you've ever gone, you know, how come you don't talk UFC, Alan? Well, I kind of do, but I don't, because I leave that to the experts, and that would be Spug and Mace. They have an excellent program call from Tap Outs to Knockouts that airs on the Saturdays that there are UFC and Strikeforce events. And I believe this Saturday is going to be one of them, and this is involving the man known as GSP. Who I believe is George St. Pierre. Did I get that name right?
Yes, you did.
Yes, yes. Congratulations, Ellen. You have finally started to learn something.
Thank you. Yeah, so
it's only taking you, what, 4 or 5 shows?
Oh, a lot of them. And I'm allowed back because the show did not end in a draw last week, so I get a reprieve to show up again. Was it true Spug may or may not be visiting Saturday, or is that up in the air still, kidney stone pending?
At the moment, kidney stones pending, wrestling commitments pending. Spug might not make it to the show, in which case we'll advise people on the website as to exactly what's going on. However, if there is a show on Saturday night at 9 p.m. Eastern, UFC 129, George St. Pierre versus Jake Shields, which promises to be a very, very good fight. Also, some notable matches on the card. Jose Aldo versus Mark Hominick, as I go through them. Vladimir Meshlenko, and I probably butchered that as well. Awesome!
Versus Jason Frills. We're having a butchering night of names. Awesome.
Yep. And finally, in what is turning into a Terry Funk-like streak of I'm going to retire, Randy Couture versus Lyoto Machida in what Randy Couture is saying, it's going to be my last match.
This year.
Yeah, right. Very funk.
Yeah. But just in case we do not do a show, check out facebook.com/wildtalkradionetwork. We'll keep you updated on whether the show goes on air or not and all that fun stuff.
Yeah. And afterward, was last week roast, or did we not roast?
We didn't roast. We sort of appreciated Robin. We took a look at his drunk clips, basically. And we talked about weird crap and talked a bunch of movies and stuff and all that fun stuff. It's CB Radio. And guess what? I'm going to be stuck with Subway this week. You know, that's going to be a lot of fun. So tune in. Saturday night. Midnight-ish.
Yeah.
And as mentioned during this program when we talked about the draft, Wrestle Talk Radio is on this network this Sunday due to Extreme Rules pay-per-view. They are on at 11 p.m. Eastern. So you do get Omega, Tim Stein, Ciroc, and the whole cast of characters. If the pay-per-view is good or not, I will be stopping by. Unless friends that are in Tampa go, dude, you got to come out and hang out. So-and-so's here. Well, okay, fine. So thanks to Austin Aries, Joe Zanoli of ECWA for making this a very entertaining evening. Thanks to Sorokin, Jason Dedrich, Brad Dykens, Wild Talk Radio, All I World of Wrestling, Mace for sticking it out with us. And as said, the final score, Kidney Stone 1, Spug nothing. We wish you get well wishes. Kevin Scott get well wishes. And yeah, apparently next week's episode 100. Who knows what the hell's gonna happen? Music once again was provided tonight by Def Leppard. DefLeppard.com. Our home site is WildTalkRadio.com and OnlineWorldOfWrestling.com. The email address is radio@OnlineWorldOfWrestling.com. You can follow me on Twitter, as much as I hate to do it. My name is Wojcik. You can follow it at WildTalkRadio, OWWCOM. Mace is the Mace Thing. Spug is Tapout2KO. And we'll see you next week. Two Steps Behind, great song to end the evening. All I Will Wrestling Radio. Have a good night. Yeah.